when I turned 21 was like the first time I went out and I bought a six pack and I came home and I drank it and I went, wow, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then Ben Seberg introduced me to drinking for no reason at all. And it was the greatest fucking discovery I ever made.
What good can drinking do? What good can drinking do? When I drink all night, but the next day I'm still feeling blue.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank. This is Ari Shaffir, and I'm with my friend
Joe Rogan,
here to introduce the Bert Kreischer podcast. Bert Kreischer's on the podcast today, Joe.
That's amazing. Bert Kreischer is a very funny guy.
Yeah, we met at the Comedy Store. He was so stoked on here, the Bill Burr one, when we were at the store, the patio.
Oh, yeah?
Just daytime, like, watching the tour groups go by. Bill Burr kept going, do you recognize me? Does anyone recognize me? So Kreischer started doing that, too. Do you watch Travel Channel?
Oh, that's... How many people watch the Travel Channel?
According to the three tour buses that he stopped, none.
Like, what are the numbers? Like, does Bert tell you, like...
I don't know. How many people... The whole channel, do they get, like, a million? No. NBC gets, like, 2 million, right?
Well, it depends. Some shows, like, the highest rated... non-fiction cable show ever was that the most recent version of Duck Dynasty got 5 billion people.
5 million? 5 million five people million. Watched it. Yeah, that's way epic. More than The Office. Way more than...
Yeah.
But not nearly as much as, like, Friends,
it's,
right?
It's like network quality numbers. That's, like, the biggest anybody's ever gotten. It's
wow.
Huge.
Duck Dynasty.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a season premiere.
Yeah, it's...
Was there a cliffhanger last year?
No,
there wasn't any reason.
Ever.
It wasn't like they found out who shot Mr. Burns.
No, Joey Diaz said it best. He said the reason why the show does so well is because at the end of every episode they pray.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They sit around the dinner table and they hold hands and they pray. And it's obviously staged and fake. But that he said, Joey said it best. He goes, it's just like the Waltons, dog. You watch the Waltons, and the Waltons are like, good night, John boy. Good night, mom. Oh, yeah. Good night, pa.
Goes, and people like that?
People think they're part of the family.
Now, do you think those guys wanted to pray, or some producer was like, hey, man, let's give them the even more version of, like, Down Home?
It's a good question. It's a very good question.
Some Jew producer was like, we need you to pray. Who is it?
Come on, you Christian suckers.
Yeah.
Well, they're super duper Christian.
Those guys, those Duck Dynasty people.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think those guys cheat on their wives?
Not yet.
But, I mean, they've got celebrity now, right?
Yeah. I'm sure it's hard.
They must leave for signings and stuff.
They probably go to, like, the Bass Pro Shops and get bombed on. They're, like, super celebrities.
Yeah.
They're, like, in all the tabloids. They're way more famous than me.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
What are their names?
I don't know.
Duck. John Duck.
Duck guy.
Bill Duck.
Big beard guy. Grandpa beard guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the whole thing is their beards. They cut their beards off. That's a smart move, though. It's like Kiss. They take off their makeup. They're anonymous.
Oh, yeah. They could do that.
If those guys wanted to blend in society, they just hack those beards off.
Those ZZ Top guys still go into Pink Dot.
Do they really?
Yeah, and they say this got one guy, I forget which one, but he always pays with a $2 bill, like tips a $2 bill, and he stamps it like get pussy every day or something. Something like that. He puts stamps on $2 bills and hands them out as tips.
Really?
Yeah, they showed it to me once. It was something along those lines.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, still living his life. They said always with some like 28-year-old. He's like 1,000. Yeah.
Well, at a certain point in time, you'd wonder if like that beard, it becomes like a caricaturish thing.
Yeah.
If they wanted to get like a really good glue on one, yeah, he'd like become totally anonymous and then slap the glue on one whenever he wants to do a show.
Oh yeah, if they had like really good stuff.
Yeah, I think they're at that level with movies. Yeah. Like they do fake. Have you seen the Val Kilmer? Did I tell you about this?
No, it's you told
Twitter.
Me. Yeah,
it's amazing.
Completely different.
You gotta see it. Oh my god, you can't believe it's real.
I hear Jim Carrey used to, after Man on the Moon, got into that whole Kaufman-esque stuff and because he's super rich.
Yeah.
Got movies like level makeup. And drove a cab around.
I would imagine he would do something like that.
Just to like see what it's like to be normal. And
he seems pretty crazy.
Seems pretty crazy. Especially after the... Hi. Especially
a
after
little
that.
Kid staring at us. Hi. Hello. Hi. You got a little tiny one.
Yeah. A mini version of you.
Oh, look how cute.
I had a rabbi that said that God makes their eyes bigger. They make them cuter at that age so that we don't kill them.
Rabbi's probably right.
So needy.
Well, that is part of the whole reason why they're so adorable, so that you don't eat them.
You don't, oh, really? Like, no, it's too cute to murder.
It's also, like, it enhances the whole oxytocin effect.
What do you mean?
Oxytocin is something that your brain produces when you have children. It also, it's produced when women have orgasms.
Really?
Yeah, women have orgasms, and women, when they have children, when they give birth, they produce in massive quantities, and it makes them incredibly connected to their children.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like literally like a chemical connection.
It's like taking the blue pill or the, yeah, or the whatever pill.
Yeah, men don't get it as much as women do.
I can see there's less connection to the fetus.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why they say, and this might be horseshit, but they say that when babies come out, they look more like the father, and then they eventually start to look more like the mother.
Because the mother's already got the connection, but the, yes, dad needs one?
Yeah, yeah, so they start, oh, looking like the mother, so they're looking like the father, so the dad goes, oh, yeah, that's mine.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Morning, well, you know, you think about our brutal past.
Yeah.
Brutal past of the human race, and it kind of all makes sense.
Sometimes, too, it's like, you just need to know this is my kid. I want my heir, my line going on, and I don't know. Somebody, yeah, some comments said this. You haven't kept tabs on your wife forever, so there's no way to know. She knows it's her kid.
Right.
There's, yeah, no question about that.
Well, they said that was the thing about communal societies. That, yeah, you read Chris Ryan's book?
I've read part of it. I've started it.
Part of the book is about how in communal societies they had these like polyamorous relationships, and then everyone sort of raised the children. They gave up on the idea of monogamy, and like everyone, no one knew who anybody was.
This is our kid.
Yeah, because
child of the village.
They barely had language. You know, I mean, you're talking about people who lived in these little grass huts.
Yeah,
they barely figured out how to make that.
Yeah, and then when you say like, well, non-monogamy, that's not natural. You're like, right, isn't it? How is it not?
It's more more natural than actual monogamy.
We've added non-natural to our society.
Yeah. I say once they established male lines of paternity, mm-hmm, that's when people started getting like really weird.
Oh, wow.
Once they figured out, oh, that's my child. That's my. It's not like the community's child. That's, yeah, my son.
Was that a lot of Boston? Just like, I want a kid to go on. Was that a lot of this hopelessness here?
No, the hopelessness here is a lot of it is the weather, and then a lot of it is also the gene pool that immigrated here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're
what
monsters.
Do you mean?
They came from Ireland. England and Ireland, they're famished and ugly, and they're all drunk. They came over in boats. It's just a disaster.
How many hot girls did you see in Boston?
Zero. We saw zero. How many did you see?
I saw one okay one, but not
hot. She probably flew in from Florida.
Not hot. And she had crow's feet all over her face and was like, how old are you? 29. Oh, really?
They age hard here.
Yeah.
It's a bad place for women and men.
I didn't see any fights, though. I didn't see anybody with a bloody face.
It's a great place for comedy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that. They love their comedy here, and they have a harsh sense of humor.
Yeah.
Doing stand-up here, like starting out here.
Yeah.
Because of the like the hopelessness of the romantic situation.
I bet it must have been like harsh, so like right at you kind of comedy, yeah, like battle comedy.
Oh, it's brutal. Not like anything else. Like if you like anywhere else, you like try to like compare it.
Yeah.
No other comedy community is anything like it.
Well, I wonder even like cross like generationally, the comics that came out of here were like you, Robert Kelly, Patrice.
Bill Burr.
Bill Burr. Like, just this, like, yeah, in your face kind of guys.
Yeah. Nick DiPaolo.
Nick DiPaolo. And yeah, those are different time periods.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not just like, oh, this crew coming up is, yeah, like that.
And the guys before us, Lenny Clark, Steve Sweeney.
He was in your face, too.
Oh, yeah.
Lenny Clark.
Yeah, they were, you know, Dane Cook said it best. He said they were like men. He goes, you think of like comics in New York, you think of the like small, nebbishy guys, like,
yeah,
telling self deprecating jokes. But, yeah, you know, Lenny Clark's a fucking giant of a man, you know? And Steve Sweeney, they're big guys. They're big, angry, drinking, coke-snorting, you know, whoremongers.
Yeah.
It's a different type of animal. None of those guys have kids. None of those guys ever had kids.
What, do they all just try to, like...
Just bachelors, shooting loads.
Plant seed everywhere.
One.
Did you guys have a lot of that, where it's like someone tried to fuck your girlfriend as soon as you, like, broke up with her?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone's
sure.
trying to get
some.
What's up,
Reggie? Yeah, there's always that, man. There's always that.
You win yesterday? Did he fight?
Yeah, he's a coach. Oh, wrestling nice. Coach.
You kind of can't tell with all these guys. They all look like cauliflower ear.
Well, you know that number, that Dunbar's number? You
what is that?
150 people that you can keep in your head at any given time.
Oh, really?
Your mind literally doesn't have the hard drive space for anything more than that.
That's like when Bud Bundy taught Kelly Bundy how to pass high school. She wasn't going to pass. And so they were like, how'd you teach? He got her to pass. And he goes, how'd you do that? And he goes, we had to rearrange some information. And then the doorbell rang, and she goes, what's that? What's that noise?
She had no space.
Yeah, yeah. She had no space
That's
for
hilarious.
It.
Yeah.
What's that noise? That it's okay. Come on.
That show was great. can never do that show today.
Remember, it was protested.
Yeah.
People protested Mary with Children.
Mm-hmm.
It's on at 6 p.m. now.
Yeah, isn't that funny?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was like outrageously offensive and... The wife always wanted to have sex.
This version of marriage is awful.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Ricky Lundell, ladies and gentlemen. Say hi to
America. Hello, America.
Great job, Ricky. yeah. What were we just talking about? Married Children.
Married with Children. That was a great show.
It was a great show.
And it was so purposely offensive.
Yeah, it was on purpose. They were trying to.
Yeah, ridiculously offensive. On purpose.
Yeah.
You know, like, and the dynamic, like the husband never wanted to have sex, the wife was always wanting to have sex, the husband was always disgusted.
Yeah.
He was always like, whoa, he just wanted to get away from her.
Yeah, he just didn't want a bone.
No, he wanted nothing to do with it. The daughter was a slut, and she was always stupid.
Yeah.
Son was a moron.
Trying to get laid who couldn't.
Yeah, it was virgin, a great show.
Yeah.
It's a great show.
Clear types.
And if you try to do that show today, they would protest you for sexism.
Sexism?
Yeah, I think that's what they... Like, it's interesting how we'll watch stuff that's old, that doesn't fit into our standards. Like, cartoons are a great example.
Mm-hmm.
Cartoons, like old cartoons, are really violent.
Also, have you ever seen the movie Dumbo?
Dumbo?
With your child?
No.
Remember Dumbo?
Yeah.
Oh, there are some crows in there that are exactly what Paul Mooney's talking about. Just... They're just have blackface
so
on. Yeah. Did you see the elephant? And it was just like they're just so clearly black. I'm not even doing the right impression of it.
Wow.
It's really bad. It's really bad.
Wow.
Yeah, wow. I think some of the stuff we see. That's why Cosby bought up all those
little rascals.
Our gangs. Yeah.
Yeah, our gang was.
He goes,
bad.
These are racist, and I have cash.
Yeah, but I think that's really bad of him to do that because I think it's a part of our culture.
I
mean,
no.
Whether or not it's racist, it's a time stamp. You know, it's
yeah.
like a it's a you can
maybe just get rid of the buckwheat episodes.
The don't even get rid of those, man. It's a
oh, you're right.
We're
saying like this is what it was.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
Reality.
You ever see those old like coasters or something like that that
yes.
just shows like
the giant white lips?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
like,
how people really were, man. There's nothing
like
wrong
Seagram's
with that.
Gin, and it'll just have for no reason. It'll have somebody hanging from
black
a tree.
Guy.
Yeah,
bone
yeah.
through his nose. Yeah, but the reality is that's how people viewed things back then. You know, it wouldn't be cool if they made it today, but that is what the culture reflected.
Yeah.
back then. And I think that's kind of interesting. I think it's interesting that you can look into that and you can see that. You know?
Yeah.
You go, oh, wow, they were a lot different back then. I like
Yeah, they were
at
a lot different, yeah.
yeah. But what I was going to say about cartoons is, like, if you watch, like, Bugs Bunny or the Roadrunner
yeah.
and that stuff, super violent.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Daffy Duck
blasting
shot
faces.
In the head. Yeah.
Shot in the face. Like, well, I just shot him in the chest. No, shoot him in the face.
His beak gets flown off
Make
the back
him all
of his
the
head.
Face skin pull off, yeah. leaving only skeletal remains behind.
Let me think about Wile E. Coyote. How many
falling,
times that guy got jacked?
Consistently falling from high.
Yeah. Giant boulders smushed him. Explosions go off in his face.
Did you hear the story of those campers who got lost?
No.
This is like earlier in the summer, or maybe late spring. But they had to rescue them. And the story was that they thought the clouds looked beautiful, and they wanted to go touch the clouds, so they wandered off into the mountains.
What?
They were high. They were
of
on
course.
Mushrooms or acid. I don't know what it was. But one of them said they... one of them, they found one, their mouth was so full of dirt, they're eating dirt, because they were there for 3 days, that that they had to, like, couldn't even give them water. They had to, like, take the dirt out of their mouth because they were going to drown. But this guy was halfway down a cliff when they found him, and they're like, how did you get halfway down a cliff And he was like, I have a vague memory of scooting down an embankment. Was that it? Like, maybe that was it.
So he was just trying to climb down a cliff while he was starving to death.
While he was shroomed out.
Did you hear about Thursday? In America, six people were attacked by bears on the same day.
Whoa, really?
From Alaska all across America.
Whoa.
One day, one crazy day.
Whoa.
Six people attacked by bears.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think anybody died, but they were all
attacked.
What's
a normal number? One to zero?
Zero.
There's not that many bears.
It's rare that people get attacked. It's much rarer that people die. I think in
how many of these people died?
None of them. I don't think so. Maybe some of them. I've seen some of them's in critical condition. I mean, they might die soon. But one guy got mauled by a grizzly up in Alaska, and they had to take in helicopters to find him and chase the bear off. But he was alive.
Wow.
And then somebody got attacked by it. It was like there's several stories. But
they
got
to kill the bear after that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's got a taste for human meat.
Yeah.
And there's not that many bears, right? There's like...
There's plenty.
A few thousand?
No, there's plenty.
Okay.
They actually hunt. They hunt grizzly bears now. There's quite a few hunts.
Oh, yeah. They had that trap when we went to Alaska. That guy had a bear trap because they allowed one
black
a year.
Bears. Oh. Well, thank you.
That's okay. Well, thanks. Mimosa.
I was, the people that are on the airplanes, whenever we do these things, because we have, like, real microphones when we're doing this, they look at us. They're like, what the
fuck? What are they doing?
Yeah. They don't want to interfere, but they don't know what to say.
Who's that last girl that went by? Hair and makeup or something?
She works for the UFC. She's in production.
Oh, she looks like a hair and makeup person.
A little bit.
She's got that cool sense of...
style.
Yeah.
Yeah, one guy walked by and goes, oh, they're doing a podcast.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool. You saw it all. I like that. I like doing it in public and see people's reactions.
Yeah, like in Alaska? Remember we did in Alaska?
Yeah, yeah.
In the airport?
In the airport, some guy came
What's
by.
What's going on over here?
Yeah, and you're like, so we're doing this. We got to go back to it.
Yeah. To sorry, buddy. Can't talk to you.
So I was, this podcast with Kreischer was just about alcohol and his fucking relationship with alcohol over the years, how he got started.
That's an abusive relationship.
Sort of. It was interesting. When he got started, it was all fun and young. And then as we started talking more and more, like he's taking a month off.
Right now?
Yeah, or just finished it.
I would be interested in seeing what it's like when he goes on stage.
Yeah, well, he said he said he didn't know if it's because he was off the road. And so that's something, you know, that can affect you. He hasn't been on the road for a month. Or because of the alcohol, but he goes, he's writing more. I mean, he is doing sets. He's putting them in like, together more.
Yeah.
He's arranging them more. And then Leanne, is that his wife's name?
Oh.
she was like,
Mrs. Burke.
She was like, yeah, he's nicer. He's cool.
Yeah, it's not good to get drunk like that all the time. I mean, he gets drunk every time he travels, and he travels every week. He gets hammered on planes. Says he really gets anxiety about flying.
But so flying, because he has a fear of heights.
Yeah. He just gets tanked.
Have you ever gotten drunk in a plane?
Yeah.
It's pretty fun once in a while.
It's good. I've written some great stuff while being drunk on planes. Yeah.
It's fun when you're flying with somebody and you have a layover and you're like, let's just go to this bar.
Get hammered.
Yeah. Nowhere to be.
It's amazing that... What's happening, man?
Hi, guys. Menus?
Thanks,
awesome.
Sir.
Thank you.
It's amazing that something that causes you to have like the worst judgment ever is so prevalent.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
You get it on airplanes. I mean, you get it at almost every restaurant.
Yeah, and so, they don't want us to have bats on or golf clubs or pool cues on here because we could attack a stewardess. How about no alcohol?
It's a drug. They're serving drugs.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how easily people accept a drug if it's sanctioned and, you know, it's in a bottle and it's liquid and everybody else is doing it. It's culturally sanctioned as well. You know?
Yeah, then it's a lot. It's sort of allowed.
It's
like,
a
what
drug.
Do we do? In New York, everybody drinks.
Of course.
My alcohol intake has gone way up.
Really?
Yeah, it has to. It's just like that's what everyone's doing, and you're never driving, so it's not a reason.
Right.
It's like, you know what? Sure, I'll have one more with you guys.
Right. So it's like comics are drinking together?
A lot of comics drinking together, but just everybody, too. I went on a date with this girl in LA. It's from New York, though. She was a sober alcoholic. And she was like, you can drink, you know, when you're with me. I was like, okay. And then I wasn't drinking at dinner. And she goes, you know, you don't have to not drink. I don't like when people intentionally don't drink around me.
Right.
And I'm like, I'm just not having a drink. It's not a big deal. I'm a pothead, not a boozer.
Wow.
But when I got to New York, I understood it. I was like, oh, that's what everyone does.
Do you get apprehensive about dating a girl that's an alcoholic, even a sober alcoholic?
Sober alcoholic, no. It depends if she's cool about it or if she's new. you know, if they're new and struggling, then it becomes like,
yeah.
But if they're like,
go off the deep
end. My friend Brian Baldinger has been sober for, you know, a decade, and I smoke and drink around him.
Right.
You know, certain people don't care when you're struggling. Yeah. Or when you're like, if I had one of my bits, like where you're assuming everyone else has a problem too.
Right.
That's
right.
When it's like, shut up.
Oh, those people are brutal. Like, oh, do you really need a drink? No, I don't need one.
No, I don't need one. I want to have a drink. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you need those beans?
Yeah.
No, I just felt like they'd go well.
Yeah, that whole idea that because you can't handle it, no one can handle it, is so stupid. I don't understand alcoholism, but I know it's real. I've seen people that can only have one drink, and then they just cross over to the dark side.
Oh, really?
You know,
yeah.
Bravo. Eddie Bravo knows how to hold it together.
The Indian.
He blacks out. And so I've never met anybody before him that did that.
Blacks out. Here's what I realized, too. It's like at a certain point, you can see somebody, and you're like, oh, none of these are... No memories are being made right now.
Yeah.
This is all dead
marbles.
Time.
Marbles. Look at dead marbles in their eyeballs.
Would Eddie become like a different person?
Yes.
That's the Indian.
Yes.
So what would he do?
He just doesn't know what he's doing. He's just completely out of control. And he's barely a human.
Yeah.
Just wow.
And not only no memories, but like wild and drunk.
Really, and then embarrassed about it the next day.
Really?
Regretting it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of remorse. You know.
Blacking out was always the sign of alcoholism.
Yeah, that is the sign.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you blacked out. You shouldn't, have memories.
When you have like a whole evening and then you wake up and everybody goes, do you know what you did? And you're like, what?
When you only remember one bar and you went to four, you don't even remember going to them.
It's funny because Eddie said, just wait, you keep drinking, you're going to black out too. And I was like, all right, I definitely have had moments where I've woken up and gone, oh, I remember some things.
And you remember vagaries.
What did I do? But with him, it's like a darkness folds over his eyes, two drinks in, and then anything could have happened. He doesn't remember what state he was in. He doesn't remember anything. He's woken up in places, had no idea how he got there.
Wow.
One time he woke up arguing with a woman in the wrong hotel. He was telling the woman like he was staying there. He was not even in the right hotel.
What?
He was like arguing with her. He had blood on his legs. He'd fallen,
and he
cut
just
himself.
Came to.
Just came to, and then ran out of the hotel.
He just left.
He just ran out of there.
I don't know what I'm doing.
No idea how he got there.
So from her point of view,
he had to
she's
be
talking.
Told,
he moves to an argument and then he runs away.
Yeah, he had to be told. He realized while he was arguing with her that he was in the wrong hotel, and then he got out of there. But he had to be told by other people who were with him earlier in the night where he had gone and what had happened, how he had fallen. He had no idea.
Wow.
I've had blackout moments where you're like, you're with someone and you're like, oh, whatever happened, what happened to that guy? Where did he go? Like, what, you know, like, what, how did we get to the restaurant? Like,
yeah.
But at least I have chunks, little pieces. With any, it's like the switch goes off and then all of a sudden the switch goes on and it's light out again. It's like, where are we?
Like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, yeah.
Tebow does that. Tebow said he was like at some bar and just, there's some girl who was just really annoying him. Just like a bitch. Just like he hated her. It was fuck that girl. And then blacked out.
And they
woke
were naked
up,
together.
He was inside of her. And he's like, what? You?
Teeb. Silly Teeb.
Yeah. Anyway, so this is the Bert Kreischer episode.
Yeah, Bert Kreischer podcast.
I'm going to call it Booze, I think.
It's a good name for it.
I'm going to be in Zany's Nashville on Wednesday and Thursday.
I saw on Twitter people, when I was tweeting about your TSA experience today, people were here. We're going to go see him in Nashville. So we're going.
Let's do a wrap up. We'll talk about my TSA experience today.
Yes,
in the outro.
We'll wrap up in the air.
Okay, very nice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ari Shapiro, Skeptic Tank, episode 128.
Wow, that's awesome. 128.
Yeah, Booze with Bert Kreischer. Thanks, Joe.
Oh, and then an addendum. My storyteller show, the last one is August 27th. That's the last of the whole run of them that we taped. So my second story that I did when I hosted the second show is coming out that day. And then that night in New York, to celebrate, we're having a storyteller show at the Village Underground. It's not being recorded, but it's me, Robert Kelly, Kurt Metzger, Keith Robinson, Colin Quinn, Big J. Okerson. I think that's it. I don't know why I ended that way. And that's it. So come on out. It's $5. Tickets are online right now on my website, as are the tickets for Nashville. And we're recording another storyteller series, another season of it, on October 1st, this just in, October 1st at Cheetah's, we're doing another story. Diaz is already doing it, and we're working on nine other names. And put pressure on Rogan. If everybody puts pressure on Rogan, he's going to do it. Maybe he'll do it. So everybody tweet him and say, we want you to do a story for Ari's Storyteller Show. At Joe Rogan on Twitter. All right, you guys. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Episode 128, by the way. My Skeptic Tank t-shirts are available on my website right now. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank. Episode 128. Boozer. With Bert Kreischer.
Are we recording right now?
Sure, of course.
I wonder if I'll get recognized.
There's no way you get recognized right
hey
now.
Hey, guys, you watch Travel Channel? No one watches Travel Channel?
They're literally responding.
Google me real quick. You met Bert Kreischer.
It won't be fast enough. All right, you got to wave. You got one wave. That's pretty good.
I have no fucking idea. it was so bad.
You see if anyone, there'll be no. More by. We'll see if any of them recognize you.
I'm going to Google me real quick.
I'm going to give you a longer cord. That's what I'm going to do right now. I realize that. Might be active.
These Zoom recorders are the greatest. Have you seen the new one that's really small?
No, I've heard about it.
Yeah.
It's really, what do you mean really small? I've heard about a new
like
one of
this
these.
Small. Yep. It's like this small.
With four ports?
Oh, I don't know. Who had it? Someone just had
someone
it the other
said
day.
It's coming out. I don't know.
Someone just had it the
your
other
mom?
Day.
I think it might have been your mom.
You gonna change my cord?
Yeah, hang on. Oh, I wanted to be more seamless. That was not the best switch over, but
why?
I did it because I was hoping I put myself in the place of a NASCAR mechanic, and I was thinking of it. Yeah, quick move.
Did you see that thing they did about that chick doing NASCAR?
Who did NASCAR?
They went and they recruited a girl who is a. What is the thing Eddie If does where you go and you compete? It's a workout class where you compete against each other with kettlebells and pull-ups.
Boot camp?
It's like a boot camp, but there's like a... There's ultimate fit... I forget. There's a name for it.
Eddie If does that, yeah.
I only know it because I heard Eddie talk to Joe about it one time.
Time commitment, but, yeah.
So there are these competitions where they do these, and it's like a competition. And one girl's won like a bunch, and this NASCAR team recruited her to become a pit girl. So that they could kind of make some money off
oh,
her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was really fucking interesting.
And everyone was like, hey, look at her.
Yeah.
Why not?
Exactly.
If you had an usher work your game and people came to see the usher, I'd be like, yeah, man, you get a riz. You're fucking drawing people.
I really toyed around with the idea of working at Arclight.
Really?
At one point, yeah.
When was this?
Well, I never...
Recent or like...
No. Okay. There was a period where I was... broke, and I had kids, and I thought that would be a fun job, and I wonder if I could get like money. But then I was like, I was doing the road, so I was just broke, like the kind of broke where you don't have any money, but you are working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I didn't need it.
Like,
the idea of getting a day job really fucking freaks me out. I get panicked.
A lot of people work there. Jeselnik worked there at
really?
Arclight. Yeah, Jonah Ray. I think one guy got a bunch of them a job. Dan Mintz maybe.
Jonah Ray makes sense,
yeah.
It makes total sense.
Yeah. Apparently, I think they were all really bad at it.
Really?
I'm getting a vague memory of that.
Well, yeah. I can't... I've never seen Jonah stand up. That's a hack-ass star tour.
Right? That's just a regular
Jesus
fan.
Jesus Christ.
That was just a regular fan, bro.
Holy.
They just chopped off a top.
Yeah. So, I don't want to do the movie. That's all I said. Now I'm just turning, reverting back to college when hot chicks walk by. Coach Bowden said...
You have to pretend.
That I'm too hurt to start this week.
And that ever worked, ever.
It never
just
worked.
Just to get the guys around you to laugh. How stupid it is.
Yeah. So, wait.
So, I said no to this movie.
Yeah, you can totally see Jonah Ray not... Not like I would be good at it because I'm a higher energy act.
Yeah.
So I'd be like, all right, guys, today we'll move. Like you can see Jonah Ray doing, and like I said, I haven't really seen his act, but, and I know, I hear he's really funny, but I know he's more deadpan, like, played down.
Yeah.
So I can see him like pulling out a notebook to take a look at what the movie is. Today's movie, and he looks at his notebook.
I'm not going to memorize this. Yeah, I don't care how long it's playing.
That's a little. Oh, I met Jonah in Montreal.
Really?
Montreal
this year?
So much fucking
fuck.
I want to go when you go.
I want to go always.
Why don't you just go?
Because they said I had to take a year off.
Why?
The reasoning was because it's hard to get press promotional stuff for me. But if I'm there every year, it's not special.
Oh.
But he said, like, it's hard to get you in the newspaper. And I took that at face value until I thought later, like, what fucking newspaper? What are you talking about? Nobody comes from the newspaper anymore.
It's hard to get you in
get
the newspaper.
Get over your fucking 10-year-old way of thinking. Newspaper.
It was so much fun.
Oh, I have, what'd you get into?
A lot of hanging out with Colin, really.
Colin Quinn?
Yeah, just being around him. I idolize him.
Yeah.
I
mean, were you guys I didn't friends say that. Back then?
No, I met him one time when I was doing my when I was doing Trip Flip. I came in and had him do an episode. He did we taught people stand up. It never made the air, but it was the funniest fucking thing. So we really sincerely thought that we could bring our traveler in and he's going to do stand up. Him and his girlfriend are going to do stand up. So we got an IFB and we gave Colin the microphone. And the kid had the IFB in, and then he was going to repeat Colin's jokes. Well, you forget that Colin's telling jokes, and this kid's hearing them for the first time, and instead of repeating them, he just falls apart laughing hysterically. So, yeah, Colin was like...
You forget the idea that he's actually going to enjoy this.
Yeah, that Colin's a great fucking comedian, and this kid's hearing...
Are you saying Cullen or Colin?
Colin. What am
Colin
I saying?
Quinn.
Colin.
Okay.
Colin.
All right.
That Colin's a... Now I'm...
I kept hearing Cullen like five times in a row.
I had the most impossible time. I had Kamau Bell on my podcast, and I just couldn't say his name.
Just call him W.
Because I fucked it up once, and now I feel racist. Kamau.
Especially in front of that guy. Anything, you're like, oh, it seems like it might be racist. He's going to see it.
We had a good talk about race, though.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a cool guy.
Yeah, I really like him. He's tall. Simon Rex is 6'2".
Really?
I was shocked. Anyway.
Does that make you happier or less happy when you see somebody's of a better stature than you expected?
I don't like people being taller than me.
Yeah.
I don't like it at all.
And what are you, like 5'5"?
No.
What are you?
I'm 6'1".
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah, I'm 6'1". Travel Channel?
Have you ever watched it?
Damn it.
Should we sit on a ledge here? Would that be better?
No.
So you can see them coming?
So what was I going to say? yeah. But yeah, so hanging out with Colin,
So you just like made friends with him?
I met him when we did the stand-up thing on Trip Flip. It was the best because Colin was making fun of me because I was in the room and he was saying, tell Birdie he looks like a broke-ass 1980s wrestler.
Yeah.
And the kid was just dying laughing. So then I met him again. I saw him in Montreal and hung out, and we all kind of hung out. He's just funny as fuck.
Really?
Watched his keynote address.
Oh, that's awesome.
Speech.
How was it? I heard it was really rad.
It was really good. I loved the fucking... I loved that... He said, one of the things he said that I don't do enough is tape and listen.
Tape, yeah.
And then
I
started.
And he specified, and listen.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I don't get back to him most of the time.
I have four that I haven't listened to that I'm, and I.
Four?
Four tapes.
That's it?
Well, I just started taping last week.
Oh, okay. All right. Like four.
And then what was the other thing? Oh, I am a big fan of his preaching. Comics need to write their own material.
That's what he said?
He said, you're not a comic if you're not... I'm paraphrasing, and this
way
I heard it.
He was talking
to
big-time comics at this point.
He's like, you're not a comic if you're not writing your own material. I get it. You're busy. We're all busy. Like, and I love that. I'm not a fan of people. I don't buy jokes. I don't fucking... I've never even used another person's joke on stage. Daniel
really?
Tosh gave me the best fucking joke, and I could never bring myself to
really?
Use it.
Even somebody's like, you should say that? I'll do it.
I don't trust it. If I didn't write it, I don't trust it.
You don't know where it came from.
I don't know where it came from. Right. I want to be using it. And not saying that Tosh would ever do that.
Yeah.
But it was a great joke. It
who
was
knows?
Man,
you jumped.
Tosh's joke was scared the shit out of me. Tosh's joke was, I've always wanted to have sex with a black chick just as long as she's never had sex with a black dude.
Why didn't Tosh want to use that?
He said he tried and it didn't work.
Really?
He said it was too far. He's like, I think you can get away with it. I think it comes really mean for me. We were at the Brea Improv, and he was like, try it. And I couldn't even try it.
Because it's all about the fucking the dude.
Yeah, I'm like, God. But yeah, I do believe people have to write their own material. I don't fucking... Yeah. It makes me sick. I don't like people fucking...
Yeah, it's like they don't write any of it at a certain point. Just like, okay, my guys will write it for me. Like, what are you doing?
That's how I know if you're funny as a comic, is if you write good material. I was on a tear. I've been on a tear. I got inspired from Montreal.
Really? What shows did you do first?
I did just some bullshit show. Ugh, I shouldn't say it like that.
Did you get more spots? No, I know. They just have random shows. They're like, it's the fucking guys who have mid-length hair of comedy.
Yep. I did one. I did like four shows. And I did Pete Holmes' live podcast.
Oh, that was so good.
That was fucking amazing.
The two of you guys together.
Oh, me, Pete, yeah. Arch Barker.
Yeah.
Dion Cole. Nick Turner.
Uh-huh.
Nick Turner's really funny.
He's really funny. Quick, too.
And maybe one of my favorite new human beings, Johnny Pemberton.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking...
Shitbag.
I'd never... What do you call him, shitbag?
Shit's in a bag, man.
What?
His shit's in a bag.
Where?
For like a long time.
What?
Not. I don't think all the time, but like he has for a long time.
Why?
I don't know. Something happened with his uterus or something.
Oh, he's got like a...
His shit's in a bag. Not for a prank.
Oh.
Shitbag.
Shitbag.
He's great.
He's fucking hilarious.
Yeah. I like him.
Yeah, I had a...
He did this podcast right here. Same spot.
And he does he have the bag with him all the time?
No, I don't think he... I forget what it... The cool thing about being a pothead is you learn stories for the first time over and over again. So I forget why he have
the... You're the most frustrating person with that. When you... Like, I'll never forget... You call... I saw you, or you were like, oh, yeah, I was on the road, and someone was telling your Tracy Morgan story. And I said, really? And you go, yeah. I said, who? And you go, I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I go, did you say anything to him? You're like, I think I forgot.
I pussed out. No, I wasn't forgot. I pussed out.
They found that kid.
They did.
Yeah.
I saw that eventually, his Twitter account, but he wasn't checking it.
Yeah, he wasn't checking it.
He was like, done with it.
It's like that kid that stole from Patrice. Did
I
you see
bad.
That?
I didn't want to fucking deal with it. I was like, oh, this guy's... Fuck, what a coward. No, what's the thing with Patrice's
bit? Are you kidding me? How many times have I fucking called you and said, someone stole from me and I don't know what to do?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's right. I don't know anything.
My new motto is, revenge is a dish best served cold and behind your back. What were we just talking about, though? Oh, yeah, that kid. How about... Did you see the drama with... That kid that stole from Patrice?
Yeah, what was the fallout from it? It was weird, the way they made the video was weird. I couldn't understand it,
It was him... the fallout was he got attacked. I mean,
really?
He got severely attacked.
Was he a known comic?
No, he's not a comic. He's not even a comic. He's an internet guy.
Oh, yeah. And he was just using all of Patrice's stuff.
Like, verbatim.
And really acting like it was his.
Yeah.
He's like, let me just tell you something that I thought about today. And it's like...
He was like, someone asked him where he came up with his material. This is the best. Someone asked me one time where I came up with a joke.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can tell you exactly. I can tell you how I got that joke. Where it came from, where I was.
I was crossing the street, a car stopped short. Yeah. I was thinking my friend stopped short. And he stopped short that other time. And then I had the joke about stopping short.
Yeah. And they asked this kid where he came up with his joke. He goes, well, you know, in the mornings I just look in the mirror and I just start talking. Yeah, that happens a lot. What are you? He stole that from Jim Carrey. That's really how Jim Carrey got his bits.
Looking in the mirror?
He'd look in the mirror and go, blah, blah, blah.
That's hilarious. So he's not even... Are people dropping him? There's nothing to drop.
Well, no. From what I heard, Patrice's fiance or ex didn't want anyone bringing it up. Didn't want anyone talking about it. She didn't want to give him any more attention. But he was getting millions of hits on the internet, and he was making money off those.
And continuing to fucking steal his shit.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh.
Makes me sick to my stomach. Here's the thing. I don't know. I'm fucking obsessed about it right now. I'm so angry at the fucking... the balls someone would have to plagiarize.
And someone who knows the internet. He's recording internet videos.
Yeah.
He's gotta be aware that everything gets out.
It's arrogance. It's a fucking sociopathic arrogance. Yeah. That I do it better.
And you're not even trying to do the due diligence to think, wait a minute. I'm taking an internet clip and putting it on the internet.
Yeah.
People are going to see this real easily.
You know, it's so funny, too, because you just think, like, a guy like Patrice, I just wish there would have been more of him. Like, because
his... How old did you know him?
I knew Patrice for, like, 15 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I knew him when we went to... Well, I mean, I knew him because I worked the door at the Boston Comedy Club, and he was banned from the Cellar at the time. So he would just hang out at the Boston all night long. He'd just stand out front. And so I'd talk to him. He was such an interesting person to watch. He had such a cockiness, like a belief in how good he was.
Yeah.
and cockiness is a wrong word. Belief in his ability as a comic. I remember him arguing with Todd Barry, and they were out in front of the thing, and Todd Barry said, I'll be on Letterman before you will. And Patrice said, there's no way. Oh no, Patrice started it. He goes, Todd, he's like, you're a Letterman comic, you'll be doing stand up, but you're not, I'll be on before you as a panel. And Todd was like, what? He's like, they'll have me on to talk to Dave and not do my act. They'll never have you on to talk to Dave.
Oh, wow.
They were arguing back and forth, and I remember sitting there going, so fucking fascinating. The way he sees that is that he knows that he could sit next to Dave and talk to him better than Todd could. Because Todd maybe couldn't. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was another thing Colin said. Don't just stand there.
He just meant he's more likely to like become like a celebrity enough to just be interviewed.
Yeah. You know? And talk about his thoughts. So I thought... So I knew him then, and then for like a couple of years when I worked the door, and then me, him, and Voss went to Scotland together and lived together for a month. And I wrote it in my book. I have a chapter on it. It was one of the most fucking fascinating. He told me a story. I don't think I've ever heard him tell it on stage. He told me a story about how he learned how to pick up chicks. And it was fucking fascinating. He was like, there was a guy named Tony.
Yeah.
Tony was a cool kid in the neighborhood. And he goes, I'd watch Tony. And Tony, he goes, I was quiet. I didn't say much. I just sat back. I was always fat. And Tony was cool. He'd go up to the girl, and he'd smack her on the back of the neck, just like. And he goes, so I go up. I don't know how hard Tony's hitting. I just knock this bitch out. Just gong. And he's like, and then Tony would take him and grab him and hold him by the fire hydrant. And he goes, so I'm like, all right, that's what I got to do. I got to drown a bitch. It was the funniest story about him putting her in a half Nelson and holding her to the water. Just, yeah. It was so fucking funny. TMZ. This is a TMZ tour?
Yeah. They had that same guy doing the thing, so you can hear it.
One of the guys from TMZ is on the bus?
No. They recorded on a message. The guy's voice.
Yeah, Patrice was interesting. And then at the end of the trip,
Why was he such an asshole to everybody? Why would he go out of his way to make you feel like an asshole?
I don't know. I don't know. He was good at it.
God, he was so good at it.
He told me when we left that trip, I said, I'm so glad we got to be friends, you know, on this trip. He's like, I'm not your friend. I go, what? He goes, I'm not your friend. He goes, we just people that work together. We're not friends. He's like, and then I'll never forget, he goes, don't get your feelings hurt. I'm just not your friend. And I was like, okay. And I remember getting my feelings hurt, and he goes, are you going to pick me up at the airport when I come to LA? And I was like, maybe. He was like, can I stay at your parents' house? And I was like, in my head, I'm like, no way. Yeah. Like, there's no way you can stay at my parents' house.
It's thorny.
And he's like, yeah, we're not friends. We're people that work together, and we don't mind being around each other, but we're not friends.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh. So then I remember just being like, whatever. And so then I left this girl that had cerebral palsy there with him, and he hated her.
Yeah.
She had flown out for me. And then
What?
This girl, I dated this girl with cerebral palsy. I didn't know she had cerebral palsy until like the fifth date. Yeah, and so Patrice and her hated each other. And she flew out to Scotland. She was a trust fund kid. She flew out to Scotland to hang out. And Patrice ended up... she stayed in my room, and Patrice fucking hated it. And he called me like, man, you got to get this bitch out of here, Bert. I can't. I'm fucking losing it. And I was like, I'll tell her she has to leave. And so he came out to do his Showtime special with Gary Goldman. Gary Goldman and a bunch of people. And I took a big carload of people that I worked with that were on my TV show out to go see him. And he was extremely touched. He was like, because everyone else had like family and friends, and he hadn't have anybody. But we came out for him. And we drove him back from the show. We hung out with him after the show at the bar. And he was like, still trying to be my friend, huh? Yeah, he was just funny. I don't miss him like to talk on the phone, like Norton and those guys miss him, like they miss him.
Yeah.
Bobby, they actually miss him.
Yeah.
I miss his stand up real fucking candidly. Like I loved the way he wrote. But
fuck yeah.
Maybe I don't want to die too young. But I do want to die
so people can like you.
Yeah.
Like miss that. Yeah, they build you up in your mind too.
Yeah.
If you die early.
Yeah.
People go crazy.
Yeah, just I don't want to die too young. I wish I just
live a little.
Or maybe something happened. Maybe like, this is it. What if I just lost my tongue?
Oh, so you couldn't do it anymore. Too soon. Too soon.
No,
I don't think that'd be enough.
I don't think that'd be enough.
Because people would be like, we can still get some. He can write. They wouldn't feel like they fully lost you.
What about...
The idea that nothing new will come from you is what makes people miss you and like think you were capable of doing more.
Yeah.
Because he lost his speech for like a week, didn't he?
Yeah. I think he was in locked-in syndrome. I think everyone's talked about this. I don't think I'm breaking any fucking taboos. But yeah, he was out. He was out. That was fucking sad, man. That's the reason I started losing weight was because of him.
Really?
Yeah, that happened to him. I'll never forget. Matt Frost, my old agent, called me. I had some drama going on with something else at the time. And Matt Frost called me, and I thought he was calling about that drama. And he called, and he was like, Patrice died today. I was like, what? I was like, I got so caught off guard. But I didn't go to his funeral. And Bobby said I should have, but I was like, I'm not going to, because all I could hear is Patrice in my head.
You didn't even know me.
Yeah, no, Patrice
now
going.
You're trying to make a showing. Yeah.
Yeah, Patrice going, I wouldn't go to your fucking funeral.
Why did he have to be such an asshole about it, though? He could have been nicer about it.
But then if he was nicer, he wouldn't have. Yeah. It wouldn't have meant more when he was nice. Like, meant a lot when he was nice or he wanted to talk to you.
Yeah.
It was like Marin before Marin changed. When Maron was nice to you, you were like,
meant
"Ooh, it's a good day."
He got happy, yeah.
I never forget. Like, Maron was nice as shit at the comedy cellar to me one night, and I was like, "Oh, I feel good."
Yeah, we went out and got bagels in Montreal one day.
Yeah,
like 3 years ago. That was really fun too.
He's he was in Montreal. He did.
Did he ask you? You don't have to tell me what the answer was, but did he ask? Did you talk to him at all there?
Yeah.
Did he ask you if his keynote address is better than Colin Quinn's?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Why? Where did
I don't know. When did you start drinking? How young were you?
14.
14?
Yeah.
What did you start on?
Just Miller, Natural Lights.
How'd you get it?
Our first beer. We stole it out of Denny Thaxton's dad's refrigerator. Denny Thaxton was like 3 years younger than me, but his dad had an outdoor refrigerator and he had beer in there. And we were like two houses down at Alan Rieger's house, and we walked over, opened his dad's refrigerator,
outdoor
pulled out
the refrigerator. Perfect.
Oh, it was fucking great. And then we sat in the back vacant lot at Alan Rieger's house and got drunk. And then Mrs. Rieger went out. Yeah. We walked around to the front, and we were in the front, and we were with a bunch of girls, and we were like, this is in South Tampa.
How many of you?
Me, Cayman, and Alan Rieger.
So, what, three beers apiece? Or two? Is that two? Two beers apiece?
Probably two beers. Okay. Two or three beers, maybe. Yeah. Not more than that.
Yeah.
And I remember it was the first time I got drunk.
Yeah.
And I walked around, and we were in the front, and Mrs. Rieger came out, and she was like, boys, inside right now! So we all walked inside, but we're all fucking buzzed.
Yeah.
And we sit down at the table, and she dumps the beers on the table that she had picked up in the backyard. And she goes, can you explain these? And I remember looking at Cayman, and we were drunk, and we just started laughing. We're like, we think they're empty. And she's like, and then she told our parents, and...
She saw the empty bottles, and that was it.
Yeah, and then I didn't.
Did you get in trouble?
Nope.
Well, they didn't bother saying anything to you.
No, my dad didn't even mention it. Up.
He never mentioned it.
Never brought it up. And so then we went, and then we tried pot. Like shortly thereafter,
where'd you get pot?
Cayman got it. We got it at a. We all went to this pool hall, in West Tampa.
Yeah,
got pot. And then went back to Sal Carinante's dock and smoked pot for the first time. And I was like, and I didn't feel it. I remember being like, I've heard that said,
like, it takes two times to kick in or something.
Or maybe when you're a child who fucking, your liver doesn't process it right.
Yeah.
But, and so, yeah, I did that. And then I had one really bad experience on pot, and I stayed away from it for like fucking 4 years. When I was like 16, I smoked a dickload of pot with Blake Casper on his dock. I mean, it was like... It was like one of those moments where you're like, "This." I was wearing ski goggles. Like, I was fucking out of it. Uh-huh. We rolled it. We used a Bible to roll the joint.
No way.
Bible paper is really thin, like rolling paper.
Whoa.
Yeah. And
God.
Blake's mom came out.
God, I don't give a fuck about God, but that still made me feel weird.
Yeah. Well, in the back of the Bible, there's like parts for notes. We didn't take out. Like, there's like extra pages.
Least used pages in history. Yeah.
So it's like,
wow, you're lucky if I even open this. Yeah.
So it's like the pages you want to use for notes. We tore out a page and we rolled a joint.
Oh.
We got so fucking high that I remember walking back into the house and time was stopped. Like, seconds were disappearing. Like, it would go click, and then I'd be there, and then it would go click, and it was like a strobe light effect of my life. My life was in a strobe light. And I got in, and then all of a sudden, I felt a chainsaw feeling in the back of my throat, and I felt like dust was in the back of my throat, and I couldn't get my throat dry, and I started fucking
couldn't
panicking,
get moist,
moist, yeah. moist, and I was panicking, and I got in the shower, and I took a shower, and then I got in the fucking, I was so fucking high, and I was like, I'll never smoke pot again,
Rebecca.
And so I didn't smoke pot again for like. No, I smoked it again when I was like...
That's the kind of high I go for. That's what I want to get.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, God. That terrifies me. Oh. And then I smoked pot when I was 17 with Cayman and Spencer and Sal again. For like, this was the second time I did it, and we were up. I'd done it a few other times after that, but that was like my... I'm like, all right, I'm done for a while. And then I did it again, and I had the same fucking thing happen, and I was like, I'm done. I'm never smoking pot again. And then, of course, I don't even know what would make me want to do it again. But in college, I was like,
was it bad then too?
No, it never happened again.
Okay,
but I always don't ever think like I always have that in the back of my head.
Like not
like I'm pretty much a grown up now, but it was that was it.
Yeah, nice. Wait, when did you start like drinking more?
When I went to Russia.
Okay.
Russia was
in
the
college.
Yeah. No. Yeah. But.
So at 14, from then on, you didn't.
Like, well, I drink. I drink, but I didn't like. I was a very like good drinker in that I could have like a couple drinks. I could have like two beers at a party and be totally
at 16?
Fine. Yeah.
They had those at parties around you.
Oh yeah, yeah. Okay. We had parties like so. We go to a party and I have like a couple beers and I wouldn't get hammered, but I'd get a little buzz. I didn't really care about the buzz. I was like, I just wanted the social like. I really kind of think I kind of like didn't even care about getting buzzed at all. I didn't even like it. And then in college, like my first...
The social is good.
My freshman year, I didn't drink at all. I did like a couple times, but like not like a big social drinker. When I turned 21 was like the first time I went out and I bought a six pack. And I came home and I drank it and I went, wow, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And then Ben Seberg introduced me to drinking for no reason at all. And it was the greatest fucking discovery I ever made. I remember him saying, him and Mike Osborne were like, you want to know the best part about being an adult? We can go get a bottle of gin and just fucking drink. And I was like, I go, it's Tuesday, guys. And they're like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't fucking matter. So... We went up to this liquor store. I want to say it's Jack's Liquor Store in Tallahassee. We came back, and we just got fucking blitzed for no reason at all. And I was like, this is fucking awesome. That was like my Hunter S. Thompson phase.
And you realize it opened up a door for you?
I was like, it was a big ecstasy year.
Yeah.
That was when ecstasy was like clean. And
what year was this?
94, right before I went to Russia.
Okay.
And then when I went to Russia, that first night I drank with Igor... In his room. With
so you
his
really
friends.
Weren't a big drinker at all until then.
That first night I went, I don't even think I drank on the flight over from Russia. And I drink on every flight now.
Yeah.
But that first night, I bought a bottle of vodka and a six pack of Baltica, which is their local beer. And I remember going to his room and I remember being uncomfortable and not knowing. I hadn't made a new friend.
Why'd you get it?
I wanted to meet them.
And you thought that'd be the way to meet them?
Because I knew that they were Russian, so they'd be big drinkers. So. I knocked on their door and I said, you know, I'm the machine or whatever. And they brought me into the room and they were all sitting there and no one really spoke that good of English. Igor did. And no, I didn't speak any Russian. And I got uncomfortable and I realized if I just drank a lot, that I could get them to laugh. Yeah. And I realized that the more I drank, the more comfortable I was. And I didn't feel like uncomfortable in the room. And I was like, that's my thing. I'll just be the big drinker with these guys. And like, oh yeah, I fucking, even though
How
I really
drunk
wasn't.
How drunk was it where you were drunk enough where you weren't comfortable? Where you weren't uncomfortable, but not too drunk, where you were like blitzed.
I don't know. I got really fucked. I stabbed myself in the leg that night because I had a pocket knife. No, I had a pocket knife in my pocket, and I had it open because I was trying to do lemon shots, lemon drops, and I fell asleep with a knife in my pocket, and it cut my leg. But then Igor was like, his big thing was like, he ran everything, so he would say like, listen. Well, I remember we went to a museum one day, and he's like, who wants to go to a fucking museum? And I was like, not me. And he goes, let's go drink. I was like, what? And he goes, they fucking say nothing. You come with me. And I was like, I remember saying like, hey, guys, I'm going to go with Igor. And they're like, we're going to the museum. And he's like, no, Bert, come with me. We go on here. And we had these, they had these cans that said gin on it. In like big black lettering. It was a white can. It was almost like out of like a...
like a Lost?
Movie. Like, yes, out of like just like that.
Something that would have been dropped to them?
Yep. Exactly like that.
Who was dropping them the stuff?
Yeah, who was?
Who was?
Don't get me on Lost. I'm fucking obsessed with
that.
Did
they ever say who was dropping them the stuff?
They fucking, that show pissed me off.
Who was dropping the stuff?
Are you watching Under the Dome?
No, I heard it's pretty good.
Are you watching Orange is the New Black?
No, I heard that. I'm supposed to get into next. You heard that?
Yeah, that's my two new shows.
That just started, right?
Yeah.
Have they released them all, or is it one at a time?
And it's all on Netflix. It's all online. You can just watch them all.
But then you have to watch them all before you can even start talking about them, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because then someone's just going to spoil it right away.
Yeah.
So, do you guys watch Travel Channel? Do you guys watch Travel Channel? You like apples? Travel Channel. You like apples? I love apples. How about these apples?
That was the most obvious.
Yeah. That guy's like, seriously?
He has that as his stock line.
What's sad is he's
just
only,
took that from fucking, yeah, and from, he's like, I'll show these honey. Tourists.
Yeah.
How about these apples?
What's sad
is his only... Are you really going to go through with it?
His only job is to maybe, hopefully, they'll see someone that's on TV, and I'm trying to tell them I'm on TV.
In front of a comedy club, in front of the comedy store. It's one of their stops.
Yeah, and he fucking slams me. I'm trying to make his job easier.
Yeah.
You like apples? So, yeah, it was gin. It just said gin, but it was gin and tonic. It was gin and like a grapefruit tonic, and it was fucking awesome. And I drank them all the time.
Really?
It was the greatest drink
ever. It was already mixed?
Yep.
Wow.
It was amazing.
And, did you ever have those Coke and rums that they had in a can together or in a bottle together?
Rum
and Coke bottles.
No.
And it was like Jack and Coca-Cola or something like that.
Really?
Or not Jack. What's the rum?
Oh, coconut? Like a Cuba Libre.
Yeah, I don't know. Some coconut brand.
Yeah.
It was like them two together.
No, I don't like rum and Coke. Oh. I don't like anything with Coke.
I love Coke.
Really?
Yeah, I stopped drinking because of caffeine, but like... Fucking yeah! Everything goes well with it. Jack and Coke.
Yeah, I don't. I can't cut. I can cut it with soda. I can do vodka soda.
I do more of that now.
Gin and soda.
It's not weighty.
I like gin and tonic, but I like very little tonic and lots of gin.
Really?
And that's my dad's drink. So my dad
very lots of gin and very little tonic. It doesn't make you cough.
No.
He's just laughing at me like a child. What, silly? No.
The,
really? When you get that vodka, that alcohol-y?
No.
Oh, I am not. Oh, you got me into drinking more, but I'm not that heavy a drinker.
I love gin and tonic.
Yeah.
I love gin and tonic, and I like vodka soda, and then, but beer. I'm a beer guy.
Okay, yeah.
I'm a hardcore beer guy. Now. No, I'm a man.
So you started with them drinking that shit, the gin.
Yeah.
And then you came back and just continued?
Well, then this is really not this.
You can drink as much as you want, by the way.
Thanks.
I'm obliterated on a pot cookie right now.
On a pot cookie?
Yeah.
Really?
So if you need help, you think you know where I'm going, just call me get there. Because I interviewed Auntie Dolores before you. And I was really about to take a second one. She goes, oh, no, don't do that. You should wait. And man.
What? So I came back. This is so interesting because I went to Russia. I had that great story. And then I backpacked through Europe. And I had some really amazing stories about what happened when I was in Europe. I mean, I just wrote it in my book. I wonder if it's still in there.
When did you release a book?
My book's coming out in May.
Really?
So, yeah. So,
May what? Oh, that's when I'll do this. Oh, May? That's a year.
Yeah.
No, okay. I'm not
no.
Way that long.
Yeah. Release this as soon as possible.
Okay.
So, but I came back and I was like ready to be like, guys, you're never gonna believe what fucking happened. Like I was hanging out with the mafia. We robbed a fucking train. We stole a boat. I ran a pool hall scam. I can't. Mm-hmm. I went to fucking Greece, and I was telling my friends, we went to Greece one time, and I went with like three dudes, and I was such a fucking lunatic partying there that everyone was like, the machine, like they fucking, and I left. Yeah. And I met my buddy in Amsterdam that night, and I said, he landed, and I said, we need to go back to Greece. I had such a good time in Greece. And he goes, really? We went to Greece. I'll never forget. I walked into this fucking place, and everyone yelled, the machine's back! And my buddy was like, are you fucking serious? Like, I had that flying dildo story happen to me. Did you ever hear that?
Flying dildo story?
We went to a sex club, and they had a flying dildo show, and we didn't know what it was. So we kept chanting, like, I was kind of like, every time someone would come up, I'd either heckle them or boo them because I wanted to just see what flying dildos was. And then they brought me on stage. They're like, we're going to do flying dildos, but we need a volunteer from the audience. And everyone's like, you do it. And so I was like, yeah. And then they went me up, handcuffed me, tied me up, took my clothes off, stuck a dildo in my mouth and tried to fuck it. And I was like, arr! So I had all these great stories. And I was like, I can't wait to come home and tell people these. I'm like, guys, you're never going to believe what happened. And they're like, you're never going to believe what happened. I was like, what? And they're like, your girlfriend's fucking your best friend. I was like, what? So I never told any of the stories to any of my friends because I was like, I came back and I was really depressed. I was like fucking ruined. I dated her for 5 years. I had known this kid since we were like 12.
What? How long were you gone for?
I was gone for 4 months, 5 months.
Ugh, not long enough to wait.
Yeah. And so I can't even tell you how bad it was. It was
Your best friend?
Best friend.
Balls.
Roommate.
Hey, I have a theory. What did you look like before this?
Before?
Were you more in shape than you are
now?
Okay. Did you gain weight after that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Fat James did the same thing.
Really?
Fat James used to look like a fucking Marine. And
really?
He caught his wife fucking his best friend.
Yeah, I was skinny when I came back from Russia, or from Europe. Because I hadn't eaten much and I had just been partying. And then that happened. And then I remember the night I found out, I went, my buddy Ozzy, the guy I was telling you, Ozzy and Seberg.
Yeah.
Me, Ozzy, and Seberg went over to Clint's house.
Seberg, yeah.
Ben Seberg's he was one of the greatest, funniest guys in the world.
Yeah.
Just insane. Like, and so we went over to Clint's house, and I remember Ozzy, I was like, dude, I do not like this feeling. Like, I'm really upset. I want to call her. I want to call him. I want to call somebody. Ozzy's like, listen, I'm not a therapist, clearly, and I know this is probably a really bad idea, but I do know for one thing, for sure. If you get drunk, it'll feel better. And I was like, you're right, I'm going to get drunk. And he's like, let's just get drunk. I'll get drunk with you. Every night, Ozzy was my roommate at the time.
Really?
In the fraternity house. And we got fucking hammered every fucking night. Every fucking night that entire semester, we got hammered.
So you never had to feel it?
Never felt it. Dropped all my classes. Kept drinking. Never felt it. Never felt it.
Yeah.
And
but
then,
did you ever stop drinking?
No.
Oh, like, just keep continue until then?
From that, I would say, from that point until today, I've been pretty much drinking.
Wow.
But not the way, like, then I was drinking to forget about it. Now I just drink to have fun.
Because you love it.
But yeah. And I don't even, like, but yeah, I've that was when I really started drinking, and it's been since then.
Do you think if you ever stop for, like, a week or something or two, that you would suddenly start crying about her?
No, I've stopped a bunch of times. Can I tell you something that's really interesting?
What?
This is a thought that I think you'll appreciate. I quit drinking for like a month last month.
Last month?
Yeah, last month I didn't drink. Well, I just spilled in your face, sorry.
I didn't feel it. Go ahead.
I didn't drink for a month last month, and I had this moment where I was like, I don't remember what I was like before I drank. Like, I don't remember what I enjoyed. I don't remember what I did.
Yeah.
I don't remember, because I didn't drink at all. Like, my first sophomore year, I didn't drink at all. I never drank. And I was really a happy person.
And you were doing things.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, I think I mountain biked a lot.
Yeah.
I think I went on hikes. I played with my dog nonstop. I dated that girl.
Yeah.
But, like, I never drank. And then my second... My second sophomore year, I didn't drink at all either. And I really enjoyed myself. And I remember, like, thinking to myself, all my friends that drink, I go, what? I don't know why they can't just hang out sober. And I could totally hang out sober. And I was fun. And I was funny.
Yeah.
And
you were?
I was really fucking funny.
You needed to fit in at all?
No. I was actually funnier then when I was sober because I was really quick. I was really fucking funny. I think I've gotten... Now I feel like I'll get spurts of it, but like, I was funny as fuck.
Mattel's funnier now that he quit.
Who?
Mattel.
Yeah, he was. He's doing stand-up now again?
Dave Attell.
Oh, Dave Attell. I thought you said Chell.
Oh, who's Chell?
Chell Bjorgensen?
Bjorgen? No, he's still doing stand-up. He is.
Yeah.
He's still in it. He lives in Minnesota.
Yeah. But I was really having a hard time.
The longest you went?
Yeah, the longest I've gone is usually like a month. I do a month every now and then just to kind of lose weight. Like the second I stop drinking, I just weight pours off me.
That's the biggest reason. Whenever you see a girl get into shape and you're like, what did you do? It's always like, just quit drinking.
Yeah. My wife doesn't drink, but she still needs to get in shape. And I'm like, I guess we're just fucked.
Yeah. She already doesn't drink. She ever... Wait. God damn it, I lost a thought. Oh, what happened to that girl? Did she ever talk to you or tell you what happened?
She is...
Did she ever explain to you?
Yep. She did. It gets really bad. I don't care. I feel like... I hate talking about like stuff like this, but yeah. I don't mind because I think people should know it. I think it takes a lot of the stigma out. She gave me the clap. I got the clap because of that.
Okay.
And I'd only slept with two people.
Because of, then you took that to Greece with you?
No. I'd only slept with two people, and then I came back, and we had sex, and I got the clap, and I went, and I
From your friend to you?
I don't know who she was fucking at this time. I mean, once you cheat... And then you're like, well, fuck it, I'll fuck anyone. I don't know. There's other people that said they fucked her around that time too.
Wow.
But
how old was she? 18?
No, 22.
Oh, after college,
she was 22. Oh. We were in college, and so I remember I had to go to the doctor.
Yeah.
And get tested. I'd only had sex with two people. Realize the stigma that throws on your head of like you're dirty, you're soiled, but you've only been with two
every
people.
Other one.
Yeah, and so I'm like, it really fucked my head over. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to put those emotions. I didn't know whether I should stay with her because it's like...
Still in love.
Yeah. Or if I should roll the dice and try to find someone new. And I'm sure I'd get AIDS. If that's what I got from a girlfriend. Like, so yeah, it really fucked me up for a long time.
Wait. Which? Oh, no, I don't want to ask what this lady's right behind me. What? Which one's the clap? What happens in the clap?
That's so funny.
I don't want to ask.
Two women just walked up.
So proper,
it's,
too.
It burns. You beat. It's,
how long
some black. I remember some black guy was in that played football, was in the, we were in the, so you'd go into, at Florida State, and you'd go into it. I'll never forget this, because I was really embarrassed about it. I was like, I can't even tell you. It fucking scarred me. It broke me in some way. And so I found out, and I was like, there's no way I have that. I've only been with two people. That's fucking impossible. So it burned when I pissed. And I was like, what the fuck? And I knew I hadn't cheated on her. So I was like, I'm not figuring this out. And so I go to the...
Well, you just couldn't accept it?
I couldn't accept it.
You're like, wait, that doesn't...
And
remember that scene in that The Good Girl? You ever see The Good Girl?
Yeah.
When the guy's talking to the doctor, and he goes, no, doctor, I can't be sterile because my wife is pregnant.
Yes.
So that proves that you're an idiot.
Yeah. That was me. I found out I had the clap before she told me she cheated on me. So I get back.
Oh.
I get back. We have sex, and then it just shows up. And then, and literally, I'm in the clinic at the Florida State had a great, like, hospital.
You showed up for the first time.
What?
Showed up for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And so I go to the thing, and I tell them my symptoms.
Yeah.
And it sounds like a venereal disease. I'm like, that's impossible.
Yeah.
And I remember, I wonder if I knew before. I might have known she had cheated on me already. I might have.
What do you mean, in your heart or like known it?
No,
like,
I think really? I knew it. I think I knew it, and I think I got the symptoms that first night that I found out, and I went, this is odd. And then I went... I'm being so fucking honest right now, but so I went to the doctor. You tell them your symptoms, and they give you a like a pre-analysis sheet, and then they sit you and they call your name, and then they bring you down to a hallway, and you'd sit in a line of people who like just file in and out. So it's like you'd be with
and this whole time you don't know what you got.
I don't know what I got. I thought it was something from maybe drinking bad water over in Europe because I drank out of a trough. In Switzerland.
Of course you did.
And so...
why wouldn't you do that?
And so I'm sitting next to a black guy from the football team.
Yeah.
And he's like, what you in for? And like just a Miami, like big ass, I mean just big ass dude. He goes, what you in for? I said, oh, I've just got some pain when I urinate, and he went, "Oh yeah, you got the drips?" I said, "What?" He goes, "Ain't nothing but the drips." I said, "The what?" He goes, "You got the drips, man. Doc will give you some pills. It'll go away. Don't let him put the Q-tip in your dick." I go, "What?" He goes, "Man, it hurts." I was like, "Okay." So they call him in, and then he comes out
a few times.
He comes out laughing
is
with
this
the doctor.
Chlamydia? I had chlamydia. Yeah, is this what that is?
I think
is that
so.
The clap?
I have no fucking idea. To be dead
they
honest
don't
with
really
you,
help you along with this process.
There's like two of them that are kind of similar. I had one of them.
Okay.
Chlamydia and gonorrhea. I think are similar. I think I have the chlamydia, the clap.
Okay, that's the clap?
Yeah.
It's cla? All right. I never knew it was called that. So, the doctor could have told me that.
So
it's in the lingo.
The doctor says to me, tell me what's going on. And I said, I think I have this. And he goes, well, your girlfriend. He goes, have you fucked anyone? And I said, my girlfriend. And he goes, your girlfriend's cheating on you. She got it. She gave it to you. I said, I don't know. And he goes, no, I'm telling you the situation.
That's so honest.
And I go, he goes, I'm telling you the situation.
Whoa.
And they had said they had hooked up. They said they didn't have sex. And I go, she said she didn't have sex with him. He goes, well, she's lying to you.
Whoa.
He goes, you've been with your dick the entire time, correct? And I said, yeah. And he goes, you never split from him? You follow him around? I said, yeah. And he goes, so it's not your dick. Oh, shit. Paul F. Tompkins.
Hey, Paul F. Tompkins. What's happening, man?
Bert Kreischer, man. That was awkward as shit. That was so fucking awkward.
Yeah.
What was, do you know him?
Sort of. Not really, but like a little bit.
What a fucking dick.
I don't know.
That was so awkward.
I don't know what that was. That was so weird. Nice to see you, man. He walked on.
I got like chill bumps. Good to see you. Maybe he's running late for a meeting.
Maybe he didn't recognize either one of us, or he just like, he'd already put it off in his head. He's like, I don't know who these guys are. I see him holding mics. I'm not going to fucking say anything to him.
Yeah, that was, I mean, me and him don't have good history, but I thought maybe we could.
You have a bad history?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh.
But maybe I thought
what
we could
it?
Clear it up.
You told me some of that, didn't you?
Yeah, he fired me from a show. I thought we could clear it up and maybe clear the air. I thought that would be positive.
Were you thinking that as you saw him come up?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought, oh, this would be great. We'll clear the air. I'll say I'm sorry for talking bad about him, and he'll say, I'm sorry for firing you from the show. And but that did not happen.
That did not happen. No, it did not.
That was like when LeBron blocked that guy's dunk. Well, I can guarantee you there's going to be one person who downloads your podcast and listens to it.
Golly.
God, he was... Well, maybe he was really late for a meeting.
I guess so. I guess, yeah, maybe. Still, you'd be like, I got to go, guys. Sorry. Nice to see you, though.
Yeah. What are some other... Maybe he was wearing roller skates and we couldn't see them.
Maybe. That's possible, too. Might have been wearing roller skates.
Wow, that was really awkward. Oh, well. I'm trying to think who I would do that to.
Do what? Just nod and say, move on?
Yeah, just be like, hey, guys... I would have, maybe, what were we expecting? For him to stop and be, like, say, like, just, maybe he's busy.
Yeah, we're expecting him to recognize us on a level, like.
Yeah, we are working comics.
Yeah, but, you know, he was already starting when I started. So I sort of give him that, like, look up to him for that. Like, just that much. Maybe he's like, ugh, it's another fucking.
What
I'm trying to think who I would do that to. I would do it to, like, somebody I was, like, an open micer with, and they're still in it, but still open micer, and they show up, like, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, but I
maybe,
think,
but I still wouldn't do that. If they said hi, I'd still go like, "Hey, how you doing?"
Yeah, I was definitely trying to think. I don't think, but I'm very different in that.
Yeah, you're
in
pretty
that
social.
I want people like me.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope to God he has to walk past us again.
He already walked past us once.
Are you serious?
I saw him briefly before going the other way when I was talking to Auntie Dolores.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so that.
But it was like I saw him for like 2 seconds, and I saw him looking like he like walked sort of outwards and then back in.
Yeah, we had bad blood. I talked about it on. Like,
yeah, there's no way he sees a microphone and wants to do this right now. Sees you on a mic, and was like, I don't know what this is. I'm gonna step.
I guess
into
we
it.
Did put him. We did kind of TMZ him.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, I know you're listening to this, so I'm sure you found.
I'm trying to put myself in his place. Like, what could it be? Because that was kind of awkward.
He just doesn't like me. I'm sure that's what it is.
He's the reason you hate the UCB.
No. He's the reason I'm scared of the UCB.
He's scared of it, yeah.
I'm always afraid I'm going to run into him and then that will happen again.
That'd be uncomfortable. What happens if you find yourself on a lineup with him somewhere at some festival?
I guess I know now. Well, it's, I guess the awkward tension is over.
Like an ex-girlfriend?
No, I don't know.
The architect is broken. Hi, how you doing? Hey. How are you? All
right. Right now, everyone's like, what happened with the clap? The
Oh, yeah, yeah.
God, that was no, yeah, I guess he just didn't. I know he doesn't like me.
All right. Have you tried before to say something to him?
No, I can't imagine that he remembers me. But
what did he fire you from? Writing?
No. We were doing a show, and he just didn't like my stand-up. He just thought my stand-up was base.
Yeah.
Which, you know, might have been an accurate assessment at the time. And he wanted his show run his way, and they had definitely...
Had a talk show?
No. It was stand-up at Hollywood Improv. And he... I got there, and Rita was like, man, what did you do to Paul last night? And I was like, nothing. She goes, he does not want you on this show. And I was
Hollywood
like,
Improv?
Yeah. And I was like, and they had called and asked me to do the show. Aaron had asked me to do the show because of, she was like, I want someone on the bill that I know is going to care.
Do really well?
Yeah. And so I was doing really well, but I was going right before him. So it was like Jen Kirkman, Howard Kremer, Eddie Pepitone, me, then Paul F. Tompkins. And I don't know. I'm sure I was being a fucking hungry, young, feature cunt where I was trying to, like, be... I don't know what I was trying... I don't know what I did or what I didn't do.
Yeah.
But I'm sure now, having been in the business longer, that I'm sure I did something. I'm sure I wasn't innocent and just a victim. But he fired me. And then he fired me.
Wow.
But then it was very weird because he was like, do you need money or something? And I was like, what? He's like, what? Is it you're doing this for the money? Are you getting ready for something? I was like, no, man, they asked me to come. He's like, well, we don't need you. I was like, all right. And then I went on.
Oh, he was making sure, like I just like, want you to show, but if it's like your job, don't worry about it.
Yeah, like if you need money, I think he was going to give me money. Yeah. Which I should have been like, yeah, $20. Yeah, I need the $13 I'm getting paid.
The improv.
But I went on Jason. This is before I knew that podcasting could cause beef. I went on Jason Nash's podcast back in the day. And I talked about it.
He had one for a long time. He had one of the early ones.
Guys with Feelings.
Before Corolla, before anybody.
Yeah. And I talked about it, and I said, I had this really weird run-in with Paul F. Tompkins, and I got fired. Maybe I might have been cunty about it. I don't really remember entirely. But I know Jen Kirkman hated my guts because of whatever I said.
Really?
Yeah.
What did you say?
I don't remember. I don't remember, but I think I said, I was just saying, like, I was being honest about the situation. I was upset I'd been fired. And what was really upsetting to me wasn't that I'd been fired. It had been that I had really, you know how every comic wants to be accepted.
Yeah.
And I'd really had a good time with them the night I did work. Yeah. And we all hung out and drank. And I felt like, nice, man. This is what it is. You put your time in. You hang out. You drink beers. You get a bunch of new friends. This is how the business works. And then you're going to get somewhere. And the next night when I was fired, I was realized, oh, shit. I just felt humiliated. I was like, they didn't want me with them at all last night.
Oh, yeah. They must have been bothered by you.
They were bothered by me the entire night. And now I'm this fucking bothersome person. Really fucking uncomfortable. And then when Paul fired me, and he wasn't even like, he did not. And I think he said on Jason's podcast, that's a misunderstanding that.
What?
It was, I don't know. I never really heard
it. You ever had to fire a comic from a show?
I never have, but...
I never would. I would just tell the club later. It's like, come on, man. Yeah. That's not a feature. It's an MC, if anything. I don't think I would even do that.
Yeah,
but it's nothing to do with me.
I thought it would... I thought... I mean, he maybe, hopefully,
yeah,
he just didn't recognize
me.
But yeah, it was uncomfortable, and about as uncomfortable as that was right there.
Wow, yeah.
But... I still think he's funny. I can't help that. He made his I think my anger came out of being humiliated that they did not want me around.
God, to know that you were just fucking ugh.
To know that I was that guy to them made me like fucking.
Jen got mad about DiStefano on one of her shows in the same way.
What?
Whereas Mike DiStefano was on one of her shows, and she threw a Twitter fit about it.
What happened?
She just didn't want him on a show. She was like, who's this guy? He's fucking... They put these guys on ahead of me, kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah, then Morgan had to tell her, like, hey, I know you're talking about, that you're wrong.
Really?
Yeah.
Jen's an interesting person.
She's a fighter.
Yeah, we talked about that one time. She doesn't mind fucking stating her opinion.
Not at all. I like her.
Getting... Going hard in the motherfucking paint. I want to ask the Star Lines.
Does anyone watch Travel Channel?
I want to ask them if they know who Paul F. Tompkins is. God, that was fucking so... Yeah, but yeah.
Cold-blooded.
I asked Jen to do my podcast a couple times, and I think she's... I think she didn't want to do it.
Yeah.
But then I just stopped asking because I felt uncomfortable. And I was like, you know what? I'm trying to be accepted by a group of people who don't want me. Don't like me. Yeah. Well, that's how I feel because that's my brain. I'm sure it's not right at all. But Jen and I are very cordial. Like, I saw her in Montreal.
Really?
She looks hot.
Yeah, she looks hotter.
Not to objectify women at all, but she looks really fucking hot.
Get the breakup in you, and then you fucking get up thirst again.
Good God, man. She looked slamming. I saw her in the elevator, and I was checking her out before I realized who it was.
She's always been cute.
Yeah, we're really fine. We're cordial with each other. And we're not,
I always thought she would do my podcast at some point, but just like whenever I run into her or something.
I'm sure she's busy as fuck. I mean, Chelsea lately has got to shoot like, 5 days a week?
Oh, she writes for that stuff too, huh?
She writes for that. She's got her own shit. So. She's got her, you know. I mean,
I created a fake MySpace account once to spy on an ex-girlfriend. She had a private account, and I really wanted to see what she was up to.
Really?
Kate Hicks, yeah. And I created this whole... But I'm when I get into something like that, I get into it. So I wanted to get like some comments going on my page for like a month or two. You know? And so God, I just created this account from Maryland that was nearby where she was. So I got like 100 friends from around the area. And all my pictures were Jen Kirkman. Because I wanted someone sort of cute that they'd accept, but doesn't seem like this is some sort of model, like I'm downloading these pictures.
All your pictures were Jen Kirkman?
Just 9-10 different Jen Kirkman pictures, and I got so many friends.
Are you...
Yeah. People like her, man. People like her.
That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I got all these friends and all these... I've never heard it from a girl's point of view. The guys, the way they would write to me and the comments they would send, at the same level they must send to her before anyone knew who she was. Oh...
That's fucking sort of hilarious. Creepy. I want to start a troll account so bad.
Troll accounts are so fun.
I want to start one so bad just so I can fucking light up anyone I don't like.
I had one on a special thing.
Really?
Remember that? Yeah.
I remember. I signed up for a special thing. I think I met the dude who ran that site.
Yeah, he's cool.
Who is it?
Fucking Matt.
Oh!
Sasquatch.
Matt. Is it Belknap?
Yep.
I was supposed to go have drinks with him.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
Uh-huh.
It's funny. I met him and then I realized,
yeah, he's cool.
I realized, oh shit, I know... who you are, because I listened to Jimmy Pardo's podcast. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I like freaked out.
He was here for the big Don Barris big show, Ding Dong Show, in the main room, like
really?
10 years ago.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I listened to Don Barris on Marin. Did you hear that?
No, I heard about it. He told me some of it. Was it?
Yeah,
I'm glad they got together, because they were both here right around that same time, and they sort of overlapped, and I want to hear those. I always want to hear those stories.
Yeah.
I'll download that one. That one I'll get.
Yeah, that one was good. I listened to Norton and Joe today, the very beginning.
Norton and Rogan?
Yeah, what did I say?
Joe.
Oh, yeah, Rogan, yeah. That was really good. I've listened to it. I'm trying to think. I have a small window of who.
When you're willing. Did you not go back to old ones? Because you're like, that was like 30 weeks ago.
Or no, I'll go back to old ones. I listened to all of Dan Carlin's shit.
Really?
Anyway, to finish up the
clap story. I want to get back to that.
Okay. Yeah, sorry. God damn it, Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
The fuck, why'd you have to throw us off our game? I bet people are going to hear that and go, he didn't sound weird at all.
We're just two
oversensitive comics sitting at the... Paul F. Tompkins is like, what did you guys expect? Want me to suck your dicks?
For the first like 5 seconds when he went past, I was like sort of watching what I was saying because I was like almost positive that he would come back and go, oh, hey, sorry, that seemed weird. I was just like, I got to go.
Yeah.
But hey.
Yeah, but he is kind of like that 1920s snake oil salesman, like, well, hello, gentlemen.
Yeah.
You know, like that P.T. Barnum, I got a bill of sale right here.
that was weird.
I hope we didn't say anything too bad about him.
I don't think we did. Hopefully not. Wait.
So I find out, the doctor says to me... I'll
show YouTube-based Paul F. Tompkins.
Is that Kevin Brennan?
It does look like him.
It looks a lot like Kevin Brennan.
What if he would just diss us too? What if like comics we knew about before we started were just walking back and forth, just refusing to talk to us?
I swear to God, I'm going to fucking... If I ever drive by and I see you doing this podcast, I'm going to walk by and go, hello, gentlemen. As you were.
You even said like in case. You're like, hey, I'm Burt Kreischer.
Yeah.
Hello, gentlemen.
I don't know. Maybe I'm giving myself way too much credit maybe he just thinks we're two people doing a podcast. Maybe he doesn't know we're comics.
Maybe.
I would think that you might know.
Maybe he didn't hear what we said. I trim my hair all short, so maybe I look different.
Yeah, but I don't know. I know every comic working. I love how we're obsessing about this. People are like, enough.
Just move
when
on.
When did you get on the fucking pills?
I heard a story about Patrice that he went up to Lavelle Crawford. Lavelle Crawford went up to him. They were like eyeing each other from across the room.
Yeah.
And Lavelle Crawford went up to him and was like, oh, hi, how you doing? I'm Lavelle. And he goes, oh, man, it's nice to meet you. And Lavelle Crawford went, and you are? And he goes, man, you know who the fuck I am. We're the two fat black comics. You know who I am. I know who you are. Just like, oh, lighting people up.
So
what do he tell you?
The doctor gets me totally naked.
Tells you it's your girlfriend.
Says your girlfriend fucked that dude.
Yeah.
And I was like, she said she didn't. He goes, she did. Unless you're lying to me right now and that you fucked somebody. I said, I didn't. And he goes, then she did. That's how this works.
Based on that information you gave me, that is what happened. Wow, that's honest for a doctor.
And
I
he
like
was
that.
Like, yeah. And I remember him saying, do you know this guy? I said, yeah, he's my best friend. And the doctor was like,
oh, wait, how'd you know he's the best? Oh, how'd you already know?
She told me they had hooked up. She didn't tell me they had sex. So I was like, oh, this is going to be bad.
As if that relieves some of the pressure on her.
This fucking girl is a piece of work. She, and then...
Remember that scene in Shortcuts when that redhead girl is like, I didn't let him come inside me.
I don't remember Shortcuts.
Come inside me. There's a Raymond Carver book that...
I don't remember it.
Almost. Anyway, go ahead.
So then the doctor is like, I'm gonna test you for it.
Yeah.
And he pulled out the Q-tip. I remember the black guy going, don't let him put the Q-tip in your dick. And the doctor was like, this is going to hurt. And I said, okay. He said, no, like, you might want to, like, hold on to the... this is going to really hurt. And I was like... I think I'm good. And he goes, okay. And he fucking stabs it. And I remember I kicked him in the nuts. Like, I went, and I went down. He goes, I told you. And then he goes, I'm going to start you on the pills. And then I'll get your results back in like a week. And then I started the pills. And I was, and then it went away. Went away. But it was like
10 days of pills.
Yeah, and I couldn't drink for 10 days, which was really hard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because I was trying to deal with depression. Yeah, oh, I didn't want to keep the clap.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was really fucking... oh, it was, like, the worst. And then I was, like, celibate. Like, I was terrified of fucking chicks. Because I was, like...
one out of two.
Yeah.
Has been awful.
And then I met this other girl, and then she was just fun. She was, like, a fun party. Like, I looked back, and I was, like, I wasn't probably in love with her, but she was fun.
Yeah.
And she was flirty, and she was hot, and she wore makeup, and she was tall, and, like, everyone thought she was hot. And it was, like, a great way to publicly get back at that ex-girlfriend who lost her mind. She fucking melted. She really fucking fell apart.
What do you mean? What happened to her?
She said she she never got the clap that... I must have cheated on her. And I was like, I've been with my dick. The doctor told me I've been with my dick. She's like, I don't know how you got it. And I was like,
Refuse to admit it.
So
you just need someone just to say it. Just say it. So what? Yeah. So does it still bother you? No. Were you positive?
What?
It was definitely her.
Oh, it was definitely. Yeah, yeah. I know.
But you still wanted her to admit it though, right?
I wanted closure, and she wouldn't give it to me. And then they started dating another dude in my fraternity. Like another one of my good friends, one of my pledge brothers. And then they ended up getting married.
Really?
Yeah, they're married, and they're living in Tennessee.
What happened to the honor code of Psi Delta Beta?
Alpha Tau Omega?
I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. Let me apologize for the affront I've given your...
Listen, ZBT. Do you know what that is?
Is that the Jew fraternity? Yeah. I guess I inferred. I inferred from the way you said it. ZBT, that's it? Oh, I got to use that in some way. All right.
So what's crazy, what's so fucking insane is I told her I wanted to be a comic.
Yeah.
I'll never forget. It was the morning of the Miami, University of Miami game. We were laying in bed. This is before, obviously, she cheated on me. We're laying in bed, and I had gone out with a bunch of friends, and I made everyone laugh. And I had been writing songs on my guitar, and I'd play them at parties, and people would fucking fall apart. And like, everyone told me I should be a comic. And she said, and I told her, laying in bed before the Miami game, I said, I think I know what I want to do for a living. She was like, what? I said, I want to be a stand-up comedian. And she was like, oh, honey, you're not smart funny. You're like dumb funny. She was like, you're not the kind of funny that does stand-up. You're like,
oh, my God.
To be a stand-up, you got to be smart, and you're not that kind of smart. And I remember being like, I guess I'll never tell anyone my dreams again. And she wanted to be an actress.
Oh, my God. That's horrible.
She was going to the school theater. She wanted to be an actress. And she...
Oh, that was the first time you ever told anybody you want to do that? That's the first time you realized it.
Yep. And I was fucking...
Oh.
It's the dream crusher. And she... And then she said... She was like, I'm in theater. I know what it takes. And, like, you don't have it. And now you look back and I've worked. She's still wanting to be an actress. She's 40 years old. She's doing still, like, plays stuff? In New York.
Oh, okay.
Like, she's not... Never been in anything. I don't even think they're plays in New York. I think they're, like, touring plays throughout the South. And I look, I'm like, she's a mess. I'll show you a picture of her.
Yeah, please do. A current one or an old one?
I've Googled her just to see if she's on Facebook, but
that's
she won't.
So fun to be able to see what they're doing.
Dirt Nasty just tweeted about the
podcast.
Yeah.
At least he's
like, peep the regalia.
What?
It's one of his words.
Get when white people talk like that.
MC.
It's hilarious. Yep. You have that stuff. Let me see.
This is her. She's actually really fucking.
I wonder if she remembers her telling you. Does she think she even remembers telling you that you just have no chance?
I'm dying to see now, everybody. This is Ari seeing her for the first time.
On the website.
Here we go.
Okay.
This is her.
Was she Jewish?
No. No, she's not.
That's not bad. She's still okay.
She's pretty hot.
That's her now?
Yeah.
Then at 40, that's fine.
Yeah, she's pretty fucking
She's
hot.
Held up really kind of well.
She really has. She... God
that's 40. That's fine.
Yeah.
You could feed me 33 and I would totally buy that.
Yeah, she was...
wouldn't even think
oh,
twice.
Oh, you want to hear a great fucking story?
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
Oh, this is the best. Oh, you're about to lose your fucking mind right now.
Okay.
I do a show in Connecticut with Big J.
Yeah.
Big J is my feature.
Nice.
And he calls me. This is like probably 4 years ago, 5 years ago. He calls me and he says, hey, do you mind if I bring a host? So it's not a two-man show. I said, don't worry about it. So he brings Mike Vecchione.
Okay.
Mike Vecchione and I and Jay do the show. We bomb.
Yeah.
Everyone bombs. I actually walked a dude in a wheelchair, electric wheelchair. Like, that's how bad we did. We go back to Jay's hotel room. Jay doesn't really drink. I think I was drinking maybe.
Yeah.
Or not. I can't remember. But we're all sitting there drinking and talking. And Jay says, and Mike says to me, where are you from? I said, Tampa. He said, oh, I'm from Florida. I said, really? So yeah, where? He said, Boca. I said, oh, shit. This girl. I dated Miss Boca High. And he went, really? I said, yeah. And he goes, I went to Boca High. What year? I said, she was Miss Boca High in 91. He went, are you Bert?
What?
And I said, yeah. And he goes, I'm Mike the Wrestler. I went, are you fucking kidding me? I go, listen, we started dating in college, and she came back for us for a fucking one time, and I remember you and her hanging out. Did you fuck her that night? And he goes, yeah, I did. I was like, I fucking knew it. I fucking knew it. And he goes, I'm sorry. He goes, I had no idea. I mean, he goes,
That was while you were going out.
This is while we were going. This is when we started dating for like over the summer school, and then she went back to dump Mike the Wrestler.
Oh.
And
so you got like she told me she didn't do it. But
yeah, and but we weren't really serious. And me and her were cheating on.
What else is
she gonna say? Me and her were cheating on Mike and her. So I was like, shut the fuck up.
Were you hurt by that?
No, no. I was like,
back at you.
I lost my mind. I was like, I knew it. He was like, so you're fucking. And it was like the smallest worlds colliding.
You and Mike Vecchione.
Me and Mike Vecchione fucked the same girl.
Wow.
And that was my second girl I ever had sex with. Mike Vecchione and I, it's so crazy because I really, now I actually care about Mike. Like, I really like Mike, and I want to see him fucking really succeed because, and it's really I feel like we have this cosmic connection.
Yeah.
And I go, fuck it.
That's Eskimo buddies to the highest level.
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, he was telling me, man, he was like, apparently I didn't see it, but she was really fucked up.
Really?
Yeah, she was like a mess.
Like a what?
Just a fucking psychological mess.
Mm.
She was
Yeah, she was young. I bet you probably didn't know what to
look
for.
She was young. She was fucking... She was broke at the time. Like, she was just... It was just, you know, she was trying to keep her head above water. And I think... I don't know. And I don't think... divorced parents. Fucking crazy mom.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her dad was a fucking real man. I remember her dad... I had a flat tire, and her dad's like, let's change it. And I was like, I have no idea how to do that.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you fucking serious?
I didn't know how to do that.
Like, their dog bit me. I mean, like, they just, like, a bunch of shit. But yeah,
you
that
and
crazy?
Mike Vecchione with the same girl. It's so
that
crazy.
That girl. Every time I see him, I always talk about that story. I always bring
and
it
so
up.
What, so she cheated on him with you.
With me.
And so she had to tell him about you.
Yep. I'm dating this guy named Bert. And he was like, he lost his fight. He was like, shut. When he said that, you're Bert. I'm Mike the Wrestler. I went, holy shit.
Wow.
I remember going to a party in her hometown.
Yeah.
And we almost got in a fight with Mike.
Why? Because you wanted to find him?
Well, we went down that summer, like right out, in between summer school and that thing, me and my buddy, me and the dude that ended up fucking her when I went to Russia.
Yeah.
We went down to Boca with this other dude, John, the three of us, and we knew one guy Mike knew from high school, Rocket. His name was Rashid, but his Rocket is what we called him.
Where was this?
In Boca.
Okay.
So we went to Rocket's house for a party, and Mike was there, and he was like drinking.
You saw him?
And by the way, I love Mike, but this is, I'm going to describe him like I don't, but I love
Mike. It's the Mike. Old Mike. Yeah. So just be, he doesn't
it's like,
care.
It's like,
all
it's
those
like,
Guido guys yeah. came from such garbage.
It's like fucking, he had the shirt. Metzger, it was like,
that, Jay, they're all like, ugh, what did you rise from?
It was like Boca High Wrestling, and he had cut it himself, so it was barely hanging on. And he had like a puka bead necklace, and. And he was like, and I remember we went there, and he was like, I'm going to fuck him up.
Puka bead necklaces.
I don't even know if he had a puka bead necklace. Flat top. I know he had a flat top because he still has a flat top. But, and so he was like, we almost got in a fight with him, and Rocket broke it up. And Rocket's like, you guys should leave, man. He's really upset about that whole shit.
Wow.
And then I left with Alex, and then I ended up fingering her by a park. I shouldn't have said her name. Whatever. Who cares? So, yeah. So, but yeah, man, that was a fucking
wow.
piece of work. Yeah,
man, that's such good closure too.
This is a. By the way, I wouldn't be shocked if this is a really fucking downloaded podcast.
Maybe
our interaction with Paul F. Tompkins,
yeah,
is podcast gossip
gold. I already
forgot about that
part. Yeah,
that is pod. You know he's going to listen to it. You know every alternative comic in the world is going to listen to it, thinking that we're shitting on alternative comics when we're not.
They're not. That was a cold interaction. I didn't know what it was.
I'm glad. People are like, do not go back to that. seriously, get past
it. Have you
ever
done that with anybody else? Is there anybody else in comedy that you would just like not, like just like, we would just not go over to each other?
Yeah.
For a while, I was like that with Natasha. We just like made it like a verbal agreement, a nonverbal agreement to like stay on the opposite side of the room from each other.
Really?
Because I was such a cunt.
No, I don't. Yeah, there's a couple people I wouldn't.
But not forever, though.
Yeah. There's a couple people I would.
Yeah.
That I wouldn't.
God, do you still... Oh, you don't go to comedy parties anymore, huh?
No. I don't even go to fucking parties. I don't even do sets in the city.
Why not?
Because I'm never fucking here. It's like I'm here tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is more fun for me than doing a set. And sadly enough, it pays off a lot more.
But
like,
I base all my social life around fucking coming here.
Yeah, but I have two kids and a wife, so I, like...
Dude, get out of that, bro. just get out of that. You don't... Listen, let me show you some... No, I don't know.
It's nice. Like, I do... Like, Rogan texted me about the Ice House Chronicles tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Tomorrow night?
I don't know.
I think it's tomorrow night. And I was like, oh, I'm in Denver. And he was like, I like that. I really like that. Like, I get there and I get fucked up and we all talk. All
right.
And every, and like, and then there's always like a 15 minute, cause I'll always go right before Joe. Like, that's just the way it always ends up.
Someone wants to follow you.
And so Joe and I always end up outside talking and he's just always like fucking super warm and super glowing about, man, you got like just really fucking positive shit. And then you're
he's
like,
pretty cool.
Yeah. And then fucking, it's just those things are the best. And then he'll go on stage and you'll be in the room with like fucking just, it's, I
super
love
fans.
Those things.
Yeah.
I love those things. But I don't like going to the Hollywood Improv. I mean,
oh, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just thinking of the store.
The store is probably different. I just never worked here.
Oh, yeah.
I feel really uncomfortable when I come here. Like I did Red Band's podcast with Marin.
Yeah.
And I came back and I was like, first of all, I don't know who knows me.
Yeah.
I don't know what they know about me. I don't know anybody's name. So, like, people will come up and I'll be like, hey, I'm Bert. And they'll be like, oh, I know. And then I'll be like, sorry, I'm just uncomfortable.
Uh-huh.
And then I go.
Yeah, you don't want to assume everybody knows you.
Yeah.
Or well, anybody
definitely.
Knows
you. Just saw
you.
How that blew up in our face with Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we don't, like, I get really awkward about that shit.
About
like,
what?
Coming here. Coming to the store.
Really?
Yeah.
That's too bad. It's such a warm place. They just get over shit.
Yeah.
I guess it's like three times. But people here are uncomfortable too, so nobody goes tries to say hi to anybody.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. I'm more probably most comfortable at like the improv. Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Improv. I don't really fuck around with the Laugh Factory. Laugh Factory was really fucking weird. The first time I worked.
Improv depends who's there.
You know what they said to me?
What?
Whoever my horrific circle of friends at the time were.
Yeah.
Were like, you know how you get in at the Laugh Factory? And they were like, no. And they're like, bring Jamie weed.
What?
So I was like, I don't even smoke weed. So I went and bought weed to give to Jamie so I could get sets. And it was like
so uncomfortable. What?
Oh, so fucking uncomfortable.
Did he give you spots?
Yeah.
He did, really?
Yeah, a couple. And then I just stopped calling in because I was like, I didn't like being in there. That energy was fucking weird.
Weird? For
like,
weed?
I was like, is he really that big of a stoner? Like, can't he get his own weed? Why am I giving him weed? What do you mean? Like, no. It just didn't make sense to me. It didn't make any
fucking
sense.
Be based on just comedy?
Dude, I can't even tell you how many fucking unhealthy things I've done simply because I've gotten horrific advice from bad people. Like, just, this is how you do this. And they don't.
Oh, yeah.
And now it turns out they're just bad people. They don't even know the fucking ins and outs of anything.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm fucking, I don't know. You go back to New York tomorrow?
No, I go to Boston tomorrow. No, I'm playing T-Bow and golf.
What?
I'm playing T-Bow and golf tomorrow.
Oh, where? In L.A.?
Yeah, Downey.
Okay.
Something like that.
And then you go to?
Then I go to Boston, then back for a couple days, and then I'm whatever. Hey, I wanted to finish talking to you about your boozing. We got so sidetracked.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Who cares, I guess. But
I'm going to listen to this podcast.
Really?
Yeah, I can guarantee
it. I just stopped myself once in a while from listening to them.
Somebody asked me,
I can't believe you said that. I'm like, I don't know what I... All right.
I listen to all mine.
Really?
Yeah. I like listening to my podcasts.
Why?
Because I don't know. I enjoy them. And that's fucking sad. If I will always do a podcast just because I like listening to them. Like, I listen to the...
It's your own conversation, though?
Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Sometimes I'll fucking, like, I'll laugh at things I said.
If you forgot you said them?
Yeah. And I'll be like, that was good.
I do that. I like that. When people tell me a joke and they remind me and I actually laugh, I'm like, all right, that means I guess I was true to myself.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll listen to this one, definitely. I'll listen to this one. I'll listen to that.
You'll have to see if you were in the wrong talking to him. You'll comb over it.
Yeah. What a fucking... Guys, I'd love to hear your feedback.
Why wouldn't he say hi? Out of just being uncomfortable. Oh my God.
Yeah, it was a weird interaction. But you know what? I bet he put...
How old was that girl in the back?
How old?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh.
I made a statement on stage last week about this week about... how women lose their value as they get older, and all the women started booing. And I was like, wait, I didn't create this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just telling you. They're like,
point out what we all know is true.
And I lost all the women, and I was like, no, I'm not. I was trying to make a joke about my wife, but then completely got lost in trying to win the crowd back, and so I never fucking...
Jesus!
You know, I rode motorcycles from Montana to Sturgis, right? So I'm obsessed with motorcycles right now. Last week.
Would you see Jay at Sturgis?
No, he texted me and was like, Jay Oakston texted me and said, I'm in Sturgis. I know you're at Sturgis. Let's meet up. He apparently, Jay's an interesting dude because he knows
who
he likes.
Did you Paul Tompkins him?
What? No.
Did you give him a Paul F? Tell me you didn't Paul F him.
No. No, I did not. We texted back and forth and I was like, he was shooting, I was shooting. And so it was like kind of hard to get our schedules to match up, but. I fucking love him, man. He's one of the fucking nice... He looks good, too. He lost
my
a bunch
best
of weight.
In New York. What? He lost good? Yeah, he lost weight. I think Patrice got to him, too.
Good.
They got to a bunch of you guys.
I love Bobby Kelly. Bobby Kelly's one of my favorite human beings in the world. Yeah. I was going through some shit this weekend. I called Bobby Kelly. Dude, and I say this. Everyone, I don't care if anyone doesn't know this or people do know this, but Bobby has gone through therapy, and it has made him one of the fucking greatest guys in the world, because now... He takes what he's learned in therapy and applies it to your relationship with him or whatever you're going through. And I was spiraling and he fucking snipped it in the bud.
Like what? What do you mean?
Like, I can't talk about it.
No, but like, what would he say to get you out of it? Or did that involve telling me what it was?
He was like, whatever you're thinking about doing, that is not going to do what you think it's going to do.
All right.
He's like, that's going to cause so many fucking problems. And he was very...
Like calling an ex-girlfriend. Like, what do you want from this?
Right.
What do you want?
He was like, you're in a space right now because of whatever, A, B, and C.
Yeah.
And you cannot... He was one of the best advice. And he was like, he was it was, he was on my side. He's always been on my side about, like, whatever it is, we're friends, but he was on my side, but he was explaining how the other side plays the game.
Right.
And he was like, you need to understand this, you know? He was great. I was fucking, I love Bobby.
Yeah, he's really cool.
What is this fucking thing?
So you're saying he got cooler with therapy? Wow.
Yeah, he got a lot.
It's a giant dog in front of, and what are those? Angels, and no, and swans.
He's gotten a lot better because of therapy. A lot better.
It's pretty cool.
He's the reason I started going to therapy. And then, of course, Joey was like, yeah, you're done that shit, cocksucker. I'll just have coffee with you.
Joey started too.
It's
I don't think anybody cares.
The but yeah,
it's great for you. I gotta go back. I gotta find some guy and go back.
I need to go back to therapy. Fun. It's fucking, if it wasn't so expensive.
Pete Carboni told me about it. He goes, listen, it's just like a conversation you get to have only about yourself, and it's totally fine. It's like not weird. You just get to.
It was the one thing that split up Jen Kirkin and I was I liked one of her jokes. And I said I liked it, but I guess I didn't say it the way I don't know what I said. I should go back and listen to that podcast. But
she had a cool joke about dating younger guys that I really liked.
She had a great joke about therapists. About it sounds like you go to your therapist to win. She goes, well, I'm not paying someone to lose. Yeah. Maybe I'll reach out to Jen again and see if she wants to do my podcast. It's just, I get embarrassed. You know what it is?
Yeah.
So, drink.
You don't want to be the guy who's fucking asking 20 times.
Yeah, I ask like,
so you err on the way the other side.
I ask twice, and if you say no, or if you say yeah, but, or if you give me an excuse, then I just kind of shut it and I go, I'm not going to bother you. If you want to do my podcast, you'll do it.
Yeah.
Like, you'll ask me, or you know I've already asked. So, what do you want to know about boozing?
Oh, well, just like, I wanted to get your history of it. You're so entwined with it.
Yeah, it's.
So you got to like all the time. Now, when you go all the time, what does that mean? Like, how much does it affect it have on you? And how much do you have to drink?
Wow.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great thing. Side boob. That's a great thing about being
she's
here.
She's definitely not wearing a bra.
No.
Is that coming from the
pool? Is there a pool?
She's looking for the soda jerk to get discovered. She does not live here, and she's trying to get discovered. And that is the way to do it if you're looking for a porn career.
Tall, really tall too.
What Yeah, I
like how much do you, when you say you got into drinking heavy, like what does that mean? That doesn't mean every day, does it? Or does it?
Yeah.
Every day. For how long?
A while.
With like a day off here or there?
I don't know. I get depressed when I think about this.
Years?
There was definitely some big stretches of every single day.
Every single day, drink like two
every
or
night,
more beers.
Every night. Yeah, every night have at least two beers. And I would say the vast majority of the nights was never more than four.
Yeah.
But there, you know, when you're doing that anyway, you're going to have nights that you do party. Like when I was in New York,
of course.
Every night was a fucking party.
And then you'll go crazy.
Oh, every night was a fucking party. We just party every single night. And then I move out to L.A. and every night's a party here. And then once I had kids, it would be like open a bottle of wine and split a bottle of wine with my wife.
You don't still do that though every night, do you? Or do...
No, I don't drink much at all at home.
Yeah.
But that's only lately, and that's only because had not been drinking over the last month. And I got into a tear when I was like, when I was in, I did that club in Toronto, then Buffalo, then Nashville, then Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it was like just on the road for like a week and a half. And then I went to Alabama, and I was partying every single night. I was partying hard every night, like drinking hard.
Yeah.
And then I went to Atlanta, and I was drinking. In Atlanta, I was drinking like at the lake with my wife. And normally when I go to the lake, I don't drink at all because number one, it's a dry county. But I was buying beer on my ride back from Atlanta and then bringing it to the lake, so I had it. And my wife was like, you're done.
Were you like find yourself addicted? We're like, now I need it.
Well, no, it was definitely addicted, but it wasn't necessarily addicted. It was that what was the problem was is I just couldn't get drunk. Uh-huh. Like I was drinking Yinglings and I couldn't get
so
a buzz.
So why drink then?
That's what my wife said. She's like, I'm watching you drink these beers and it's like, I feel like you're doing it because you're anxious. And she was like, you're done. And I was like, what? She goes, you're done. When we get back to L.A., you're on the wagon.
When was this?
This was like last month.
Jesus, yeah.
So I didn't drink for... I came home, and oddly enough, I was really impressed with how quickly I didn't drink, and when I don't drink...
How long did it take? How many days did it take to stop?
One day. I just stopped.
When you got home, you didn't start...
I just didn't drink. And I was fine. And I don't like have withdrawals or anything, but I just didn't drink.
Were you anxious at all?
No.
Did you get anxiety?
No. I work out a lot more when I don't drink.
Okay.
Like,
good.
I work out twice. I work out once in the morning and once at night.
To make up for it?
No, just because I get bored as fuck. It's like 10 o'clock at night. I'm like, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm like, I'm going to go fucking, and I wrote, and I But it's really good to do that. And then I realized after doing that, I was like,
you wrote more than normal?
What's that?
You wrote more than normal? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I finished up my book. And then I was like, wow, I never realized that I could really shut it down that quickly and not drink. And then I kind of did the, we went on the road and I didn't drink some nights.
And was that hard?
Like, no, it's not that hard. Did you get invited out?
You also have a reputation.
It's very difficult when you get invited out. What was happening was I always bring a beer on stage. But okay. I had like one beer on stage for the first show, one beer on stage for the second show, and I wasn't drunk, and I was like, I'm just going to go home and go to bed. And so I did that a couple times, and then, I don't have a hard time not drinking. What happens to me, and this is what my wife says, is that I just get bored, and then it's like, it's part of the lifestyle anyway, and it's like a habit. You just go out and you do a show, and then you go out and you just have some beers.
Yeah, that's what you do afterwards. It becomes like habitual.
Yeah, and so you just end up doing that every single night, and then what will happen, like the instance of today is like, we went out last night with Tom Skerr and Ian Bagg and their wives,
uh-huh.
and we got fucking
really?
Lit.
Ian Bagg is married?
Yeah, and cool. I flew in and I drank on the flight in.
Yeah.
I didn't sleep. I then go to dinner. I drank then. I woke up really hungover this morning. And I was like, and I got to fly out first thing in the morning tomorrow. I was like, fuck it. This day's a wash. I will get a beer. I was like, I'll go meet up with Ari. I'll grab a beer. Yeah. And then I'll go back, take the girls to dinner. So
you're still on the 30-day cleanse?
No. Whatever it was? No. I'm off.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm off. I went back down to like my regular weight.
How much weight did you lose?
I lost 40 the first time I did it.
Whoa.
Yeah, but a lot of it's not drinking. It's just second you don't drink, you just lose the weight. You know, it's an extra 1,200 calories you're not putting in your mouth at the end of the day. And then, and I dropped the weight. And so now I'm back down to like 215.
Really?
Which is...
You have a scale
I was
in
down
your house?
To 205. Yeah.
Do you weigh yourself every day?
Every day.
So you see when it's getting up there too much?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the only way you got to do it.
Yeah.
Can't lose track.
It was fucking...
Up until then, and you never got... Do you ever have like liver failure or any shit like that?
No, I go to the doctor every year, and the doctor's always testing my liver and always like, yep, liver's fine.
Man.
My blood pressure's fine. For a lot of it, it's just keeping the weight off. Like, your body's kind of a little bit of like a kite in a storm. Like, mine is, at least. Like, you can tell when I'm getting unhealthy because I look unhealthy. But if I look healthy, I'm healthy.
Right.
Like, for me, it's all dictated on my heart and my blood pressure.
So if you feel good, you're fine?
Yeah. But the second I look really fat, really bloated, and I'm shitting blood, something's going on.
Do you ever get into vodka or anything like that?
Nah. I mean, I don't really fuck around with hard liquor that much. I'm really a beer guy.
I just got into wine recently.
Wine's great.
Yeah.
I love wine, but it fucks with your throat.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're drinking a bottle a night, you're going to get acid reflux, and you're going to get more than acid reflux. You have the chance of getting throat cancer from
what?
It. Yeah.
More than a bottle a night. Oh, no, I don't drink that much.
Yeah, I would drink a bottle a night.
A bottle a night?
Yeah. That's not that much. It's like, what, three glasses?
It's not that much in it. Four.
What?
Bottles, four glasses, right?
Yeah. My wife has one. I have three. All pass right. out. Oh,
that's
shit.
Three glasses.
Speak of the devil.
I'm going to pause it.
It's my wife. No. Keep going.
All right.
Hey, babe. What's up?
How's it going?
Good. We're wrapping up.
Okay. Well, then call me when you're done so we can figure out where to go.
Where do you want to go?
Well, that's what I just said. Call me when you're done so we can figure out where we're going
to
go.
Okay. I will. I love you.
All right. Love you.
Bye. Hey, babe.
What?
Hey, how much do you think? How much do you think I was drinking in Alabama?
You mean at the lake?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Enough for you to tell me that I had to go on that cleanse when I got back?
Oh, that didn't have to do with Alabama. That had to do with, like, the cumulative month or two.
Oh, yeah, with Toronto and Buffalo and Atlanta and Nashville?
Yeah.
Would you say I'm better?
I would have said that until yesterday.
How's he different now?
She said, I would have said that until yesterday.
Oh, he's not different now. He was different between then and now.
But I mean, in that time, like, how was he different? In what ways was he different?
Oh, he was nicer. He was less moody. He slept better. He did not snore, which meant I slept better.
Wow.
He didn't look bloated in his face, and his belly's nice and flat.
He didn't look bloated? Yeah, okay.
Just the face.
Yeah.
The belly.
He was nicer? What do you mean he was nicer? Like, you noticed a change in his behavior and stuff?
Well, he just kind of, he has a shorter patience, shorter attention span, shorter, he's just kind of shorter. It's a little more all about Bert when he's in that mode.
Oh, right.
He's a little less aware of other people.
Yeah.
Is that good?
Yeah, it's great.
All right, baby, I'll call you when you get done. I love you.
All right, love you too.
Bye. She's a really interesting fucking person.
Yeah.
My wife. God, man, this is going to be a... How long have
we
done?
Okay, if we...
this is going to be a good fucking podcast.
If you hear that, if you hear what she says, that you're a nicer person and that you feel, like, look less bloated and whatever.
Yeah.
You don't trust it? You don't think that's true?
No.
No.
It's fucking... Here's what... First of all...
She's just trying to state her opinion.
Yeah, well, it's her saying that... what's she going to say? The only other option is, I don't notice the difference. It's the same Bert. Like, then I'll never quit drinking.
Right.
And she don't want me to quit drinking. She doesn't like me on the road. Like, when I come back from the road and it's been, like, a long weekend, That's what fucking frustrates her.
Why?
Because you're just, all worn it out. Just, I'm beat up. I'm tired. I've been up until 3 in the morning every single night or 2 in the morning every single night.
Radio day.
Yeah, and then I come in and my clock is all fucked up. And I come in and I got to be like daddy on duty. And what I would do is I'd come in and I'd only be home for Tuesday. Yeah. I'd come in Monday night. I'd drink on the flight in.
Yeah.
And then I'd be home Tuesday. I'd leave Wednesday and I'd just end up drinking.
Would you be on the road during this time? During those 30 days?
No.
You weren't on the road?
No, I wasn't on the road. But I did. Okay. I did Irvine and I did 2 weeks off. So I like, 3 weeks total.
All right. So maybe it's off the road she likes more than
that. Yeah. But I got to be honest with you. I was so much better of a stand-up without drinking.
Really?
100% sober on stage?
I talked to Brendan about it once with weed, and was like, let's be honest, like it makes us not as, like, if we have to showcase or any sort of regimen, it's like, it makes us off here or there.
Yeah. I was murdering. Is this Jim Norton?
This way here? No way.
No. What are you talking about? it did look like him,
like
a little
six
bit.
6'2", and like, no way.
And I think he might be Persian.
Yeah. He looks like some sort of ethnicity.
The, I was in Irvine, I was fucking destroying. I was writing a lot on stage.
Yeah.
Like, I was writing...
Without
jokes.
The drinking?
I was taking jokes. I had one joke about... I learned a very valuable lesson the other day. Never tickle a child with diarrhea in your bed. That's the joke I wrote.
Yeah.
And when you're drinking, just getting the laugh of that, you're like, good, got it, done, put it on the shelf. We can always use that one.
Okay.
In Irvine, I would write that. I would say that joke, but then I would expand it and talk about what happened. Yeah, I was like... Oh, it's fucking... And all of a sudden, I'm tagging it left and right, and now it's a fucking great premise that leads me in more into it. And I was like, motherfucker, what happens is you get drinking, and you just don't fucking pay attention.
Yeah, so what...
Let stuff fall to the side.
So what options do you have then?
Well, I did Dayton last week, and what I did was I didn't drink... I'd bring a beer on stage with me,
but yeah.
I just would barely sip it and be sober for both shows. Normally, okay. More
and
than
so,
a pound.
Are you
going to
do more of that? I understand.
Yeah. I'm gonna be a lot more focused on stage and go, I'm gonna listen to my sets. I'm gonna fucking, because once you start listening to your sets, you really care about your material.
Yeah.
And once you care about
your
material,
you have to get the repercussions of hearing a joke fall flatter than you wanted it to.
Yeah.
And you have to feel it again.
And it's like, and
that's my theory, that you fucking hate it and you're like, ugh, instead of shying away and pretending it didn't happen.
Yeah. And so I'm gonna do that, and then I'm gonna fucking I'm gonna go through and I'm. And
so
I'm
how
gonna
long
just,
you can continue with this then?
What?
Not drinking or drinking less.
I'm
going to
drink. I'm going to still drink, but I'm just not going to, like, there was a period when, right after I'll say that I kind of, the Machine story got popular.
Yeah.
And people were coming to the shows for that story and to meet the Machine. And that sounds really weird to say out loud, but right when that happened, I started living up to the hype.
Yeah.
Like, I would be like, I mean, when we did that documentary, we had a documentary with us for like a while, and I was fucking just, I wanted to be the fucking guy that, I wanted to be the legend that people wanted to see.
Yeah.
And I was just fucking drinking and just all over the fucking map. I would say my material suffered from it.
Because of that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I really felt like I saw a tell, like, I don't know, just not, I don't know. It was just like off a beat or something. And then it was right when I quit drinking. It was just like, oh, this is like noticeably better.
Yeah, I worked with him right before he got... Not right before he got sober. I worked with him in his drinking.
Yeah.
And it was really fascinating to see...
But he's like the guy you want to drink with. Him and you.
Chaotic shows they were.
yeah,
that he was not happy with. Like, he would just, it was like people fucking buying shot, all he did was people send him shots the entire time.
Yeah.
And like people were coming up on stage and like it was like real chaos. And he, I remember being like he's, like, I remember sitting in the back going, God damn it, why don't they let him talk?
Yeah, do his stuff.
Fucking, yeah, but he, and he was drinking fucking tons of shots and he was a wild man.
Yeah.
But they were sold out shows. I remember two on Thursday, two on Friday.
Two on Thursday.
Three on Sunday. Three on Saturday and two on Sunday.
What?
He was selling out every fuck.
And when it was this?
9 years ago.
Wow.
George was just born.
Two literally on Thursday, 9 years ago. Two on Sunday.
9 years ago, almost to this date.
Wow.
And he was just fucking selling them out.
And this is when you were featuring?
I featured for him one time.
What was the boozing like on that trip?
Not at all. He didn't drink at all that trip. Like, he would, he was drinking on stage, but he'd get done, and I felt sick. And he'd drink, then he'd just go to his room and drink by himself or go to sleep.
Oh.
And I would be like, I remember he knew I wanted to party with him, because he was like, don't worry, I'll take you out one night. So, like, Thursday night, he went back. Friday night, he went back. And then Saturday night, he's like, all right, I'll take you out. Like, you could hear it in his voice, like, I know that this is something you want, and I will do it for you. So we went out drinking, and I remember, I think I pissed him off right away.
Why? What'd you say?
Because I kept going, hey, my friend's famous.
Oh, why'd you do that?
He goes, don't do that. Please don't do that. And I was like, I thought it was funny. I was like, hey, my friend's famous.
It's over and over again.
And he was like, don't do that. Please don't do that. And then we went to a bar, and
he's an introvert, that guy.
He's an interesting dude. I just listened to him on a podcast. Oh, on Aisha Tyler.
Aisha, yeah. She's doing that new whatever show.
What, The View?
No.
The Touch?
No.
Who won? Look.
Like, no. Whose line is it anyway?
What?
Yeah.
Oh, someone told me she was doing The View.
She's doing The View?
Yeah, or The Talk. The Talk.
What's The Talk?
It's like one of those.
It's not the Whose Line Is It Anyway thing. She's on that.
Can I tell you about the most brilliant fucking thing I did on a stage the other day?
Yes.
And it made me come up with the greatest idea ever.
Yeah.
So I said, I had a great crowd with my Sunday show. So it was like, it's half black, half white. And I feel like I haven't been getting black people at my shows lately. So I was really excited. And I forget what it was, but we started talking about, it was like a fun conversation about race.
Yeah.
And so I was singing a song, and then I was like, I'm going to play a song. Oh, the bit was, it was not a bit, but I was going to say, this is the song, this is the reason that I can't listen to hip-hop anymore, and I was going to play an MJG and 8-Ball song. Yeah. And I was like, I'll tell you what.
What's an MJG? What?
Here,
what is that?
I'll just play the song for you.
What's MJG and 8-Ball?
MJG and 8-Ball is a hip-hop band.
Uh-huh.
And so,
I've never heard, that's two people?
Alcohol, pussy, and weed.
I love the song already.
I don't know. You had me at alcohol. So I was going to play it, and I said, I'll buy a round of drinks for anyone who knows this song. And then I remembered I had played it.
What is the name of the song? Alcohol, Pussy, and Weed?
Alcohol, Pussy, and Weed.
That's exactly what it should be.
And so I was like, shit. And I was like, oh, that's probably too easy because they're white people. I said, oh, I got a better idea. I said, black people.
Yeah.
This is maybe the favorite thing I've done on stage in a long time.
Yeah.
I said, black people. I said, I will buy a round of shots for any black table who can tell me who wrote this song. Do you hear it? Do you know the song? It's silent.
Black people would never get
that. It's silent. And then I said, white people start singing lyrics. All the white people are singing the lyrics. Black people are sitting at their tables, and someone yells out, Mick Jagger. What? I go, no, it's not Mick Jagger.
He's shot in the dark.
David Bowie. Oh, Lady Gaga.
He's like a shot in the dark. He's like, maybe it'll be this.
So then I played a Bob Seger song to see if they get that. Nothing.
Really?
Bob Seger, nothing.
Where was this?
This is in Dayton. Oh, it was so fucking great. And the black people were like, do it again. Oh, it was so much fucking
fun. They realized, like, well, this is clearly a song people know about.
Yeah, like, oh, everyone's singing all the lyrics. And I was like, and so then I came up with the idea. Tell me if this would be great. Racism the Game Show.
Yeah.
So you do things that are just stereotypically out of the norm of whatever that race is, and you just show the differences in a game show. You play a song, and you'd have black people try to guess the white songs. You do the same thing, flip-flop it for white people with hip-hop songs, but you have like black and white crowds. So the thing is, the black and white crowds get in on it. Like it's like almost like a Jerry Springer show.
Right, so they want to sing along with their songs.
Yeah, so you're like...
The show that it's all song of right. Because if they barely sing along, then you can tell like, no, that's a cheap question.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then I was like, it would be so fucking...
You fight for your right to party.
Yeah, it would be fucking awesome, but you got to come up with more. And then the joke I used,
that'd be a good one.
It's a hacky joke, but I was like, yeah, then you could take a black person on stage and have five white people try to guess how old they are. And because, it's impossible. They all fucking look, like, 17, 18, 19, 103.
79, yeah.
So, it was so one of my favorite moments on stage ever. Because it was like fucking so real. And you just watched. I was staring at them. And their faces are blank. Like, I've never heard this song in my life. Oh, it's fucking so great.
I had one time where this black guy was in the back. And I was doing some joke about being like Jews being like the original niggers. That's what I was saying. Like, it was like,
but I'm not
like,
comfortable with that
we
word.
We were running basketball teams. We were playing basketball. We were the poor. We were the best boxers.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And some guy, this really jovial black guy in the back. We already were cool, so I thought I could drop it on him.
Yeah.
And then he goes, no, you got to say it's nigger. You got to say nigger. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, so if I say, these filthy niggers are going to date my daughter? Never. They're taking these niggas are coming into our neighborhood.
Do you realize you're saying this out loud? We're on a street right now.
Sunset Boulevard.
I'm getting nervous as it happens.
It was right in there. It was six feet away.
Oh, it was in the comedy store?
Yeah. And he was loving it. But once you like get in with somebody, then it's totally fine.
Yeah, yeah. What was I going to say about that? Shit.
What make them sing the song?
No. Can I tell you something interesting? I used to have a joke about black cocks.
Yeah.
And I was like, I wonder if it's true, if that's true. The fact is, which is interesting, which really fits into your joke, is stereotypically throughout history, whoever the oppressed people are, the oppressors claim they have big genitalia.
Really?
Jews, for a very long time, had big dicks. Irish had big, like that was like what?
Oh, really?
The oppressors would
come
say,
in, slinging these fucking dicks around.
Yeah, like have you seen the like,
cheap?
It's interesting because
Mandingo.
They were like, because I think stereotypically everyone. Now I don't know if that would be a stereotype you'd make of Jewish people.
What?
But that they have big dicks,
fat hogs. Yeah,
yeah. But now when you look back in history, that was one of the things they said about them.
Wow.
Like it was kind of fascinating.
I still hear that all the time. Jews have big hogs.
Yeah, you have really big balls.
Yeah, but I do. I really do. We were out on stage last night.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that fucking video on Vine this morning. I was like,
they were drawing
the fuck
on
up.
It. The girls were drawing faces on it, and they were like really
taking serious?
Care. Yeah, they were like being real specific.
I wonder who ordered a pizza.
It's going around the back. It's going to be around the back. Yeah, there's a door back there. That's what it'll be. That's funny.
Yeah, it's. I saw that video today on Vine, and I was like, oh.
We put glasses on it.
Red
they came
Band
up
was
with,
like,
they cupped
the?
It with their balls, with their hands.
And you were giggling, but it was even funnier.
It was so
funny. You didn't have your glasses on, because they were on your balls.
They were on my balls.
Which made you look like you were laughing 10 times harder.
They were drawing, like, really drawing a mouth in there and, like, getting into it. It was completely non-sexual. It was
God.
Just so ridiculous. As fucking Barry Newman or somebody, I don't know, whoever, was playing on the stereo. Barry Newman's the wrong name.
I don't even know who Barry Newman is.
There's no Barry Newman.
Where do you stay when you're in LA now?
I still haven't given up this place.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They're going to tear it down, so I'm waiting it out.
Really?
Yeah.
How great is that?
Yeah, it's perfect. So I can just go to a place.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But if you had to pick one, where would you go?
Right now?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're tearing this place down, I'm going to New York.
You stay in
I'm
New York?
I'm going to be there until January.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it doing what you thought it would do?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot more spots.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been pretty great. And immediately, I'm one of the top more guys around LA, and it's like 6-7 times a week, 5-6-7. But it's like 15 there, and I have nights off.
Really?
Yeah, the Stand gives me like fucking 3 spots on a Saturday.
Oh, the Stand's great. I want to work
it's
there.
Awesome.
I feel like next time I'm in New York,
you
I'm going to fucking call them up.
Yeah.
That's the dudes, Patrick.
They're cool about it. All the cringe humor guys. Patrick Mulligan.
That's fucking great. Yeah, I'd love to do the Stand.
Yeah, you should come there. Renazizi goes there too now.
Really? Is
it's
he
a
out
cool
in New
place.
York?
He's in Long Island, so it's like an hour and a half drive, but like he makes it sometimes.
Is he coming to stay at your place?
Nobody will when I'm out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give them the key.
God, look how long that fire truck is. These children are way too young to be walking on Sunset
Strip. They're
just
so hot. No, they don't look
that
hot.
Is that Jimmy
Schubert? on a ped bike. All right. I don't know what I was going to get to. We got way sidetracked, but it was fine. I feel like you have to go. Is that true?
Yeah, I gotta go. I gotta go take the girls to dinner. They had their first day of school today.
They never stop needing things.
Fucking, you have no idea. If I had known, it was
the first day of school ever. What do you mean?
No, first day of school. You have.
What do you mean?
First day of school for this year?
No, it's August 13th.
Yeah, first day of school.
No.
Yeah,
no, you're not hearing what I'm saying. It's August 13th. It's not even late. It's not even like one of those weird the lunar cycle. So it's August 29th.
Yeah.
No, it's August 13th, man.
I know.
What?
Their first day of school today, and
how can that happen? Do they have days till like fucking 10 a.m.?
Yeah.
Where do they go to? Like, I don't understand. How do they start this early? This is the middle of the summer.
They started today. Everyone else started like 2 weeks ago.
What are you talking about? You just got a Shabbos walk with a girl you've liked for 6 weeks. What are you talking about?
Shabbos walk?
Yeah, you go on a Shabbos walk and you don't have any activities.
I think I'm going to go home instead.
All right.
Hang on one second. Leanne's like, Isla's yawning. Let me...
First day of school.
Yeah, they're the first day of school, and you, like, the amount of fucking drama that brings.
Why?
Because everyone wants to get in the class they want. They want the teacher. They want their friends in their class.
Yeah.
And my wife was, like, spiraling. Like, watching
really?
Her... Yeah, and then Georgia didn't get the teacher she wanted. She didn't get the teacher she wanted, but she didn't know that she wanted this teacher. But then she got to the line, and all her friends were in that class. She was like, I'm good. And Isla got the teacher she wanted, and all her friends were in the class. And all of a sudden, we're flying on fucking cloud nine. And then Leanne, one of our friends, the kid didn't get the teacher they wanted. And the mom was crying. Like, it was fucking really fucking...
Really? Over that?
Yeah. Mom was crying, and then all the moms went to console her.
And Leanne's crying? Someone else is crying?
Someone else is crying, and it's fucking just... It was a nightmare.
Oh, my... Like, over the classes stuff?
Over the fucking class. Is that not crazy?
There's that much drama on it? It's the Joe's Pizza guy. That sounds awful. Can I interview Georgia about what it's like to be a fourth grader?
Yeah. You want to call her?
yeah.
Wait, what's the address here at the comedy store?
8433.
What is it?
8433 Sunset.
8443?
8433. 33? Where's 33? It's right here where we are. 84.
I know, but it's not showing up.
8433 Sunset Boulevard.
God damn it.
Put in a comedy store.
No, I'm trying to get an Uber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, there's La Cienega. This is right here. 8401. I took Uber. I take Uber
really?
Everywhere. I love Uber.
You don't drive around L.A.? It was pretty great, man.
I did not drive at all.
I did an Outside Lands a few times with Nick Youssef when he had to get places. And
it's
no
the
cabs,
fucking best.
No buses.
It's the best.
Yeah.
Base fare. What are you supposed to say? Yes?
Yeah, if you want it. You say, yeah, come on over.
It was fucking... I love it. I take Uber everywhere. I never drive.
Really?
Yeah. I go if I could do Joe's podcast, I take an Uber out there.
Sackett does
back.
That. Or used to do that a long time
I
ago.
I love it.
He would just have a driver around
it
LA.
Like, it was like $15 to get here from my house.
Really?
As opposed to sitting in the car and driving myself over and knowing that if something happens, that I then have a car with me. You know?
Yeah.
And I had a beer like this afternoon.
Right.
And so I was like, I had a really bad hangover and I wanted to get on the treadmill. So I knew if I had a beer, I could get on the treadmill.
Are you going
to
continue drinking less if you're writing more?
Yeah. It just happens that way.
Yeah.
Just every now and then, shit goes down. What am I going to say?
It's bursts of energy, too.
So you know what?
I get that once in a while.
What I used to do is I'd open a bottle of wine and get on the treadmill and just walk.
Yeah.
I walk for like an hour and a half.
You think it's because you're home more, too?
Yeah.
So that's why you're
I'm not
like
home right now. I'm not home right now for the rest of the year.
Oh, no.
I'm gone. I'm going to...
That's the year. August 13th again.
Dude,
reminding the Kreischer family.
I'm gone. I go, I'm doing the road every single week, and the weeks I'm not doing the road,
what?
I'm going to fucking Rio, I'm going to Costa Rica.
With the family?
I'm going, no, I probably shouldn't say where I'm going, but we're going, yeah. We're doing some really big trips.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be fun, I guess.
Yeah.
You don't just like to veg out, just sit at home for a while?
I don't have that time. Yeah. I have a fucking mortgage, I have two kids, yeah. I have a fucking wife, she wants to redo the kitchen. Yeah. Like, it's
What's
interesting.
What's wrong with the kitchen?
She wants a new kitchen.
But
and you get and I feel like I'm finally making money in stand up. Yeah. And I love that. I love making money in stand-up.
So you want to keep doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
So, I'm fucking. We should do. Why don't we do tour dates?
Yeah, we're trying to do it.
But I want to be in on it.
Okay.
Who is it? You? Are you thinking about doing it with Joey?
Joey, yeah. Also Robert Kelly.
Really?
Yeah.
Dude, throw me in on the mix.
Okay.
I'm fucking in. We'd have so much fucking fun.
Yeah.
That would be fucking a blast.
Robert Kelly not judging us drinking and doing pot.
Bobby at one point will do an intervention with me. I can guarantee it. That would be fucking awesome, man.
Yeah. Yeah, we should do that. Or me, you, and Diaz. Or me, you, and Tom. They're trying to set all those up, but they haven't set any of them up.
Oh, is it Justin?
Yeah, whoever is doing it. I just feel like people are saying we're going to do it. I want to do it.
I just want to do it. I'm fucking... I also want to go...
Somebody's talking about a bus tour through Canada for, like, me, you, and Segura.
Yeah.
Because Diaz can't even do that. A bus tour just for, like, 4 dates in a row, and then another one, like, 6 weeks later, 4 dates in a row on the other side of Canada.
Let's do it, man.
Yeah.
I got nothing but fucking... I can do whatever I want when it comes to work. I can't just hang out at home.
Right, right.
I can fucking go work all the time. All right, I gotta piss.
Okay.
This has been one of the best podcasts I've done.
I don't remember any of it. Maybe I will listen to it too.
It was fucking, I'm telling you, this is one of the best ones I've ever done. This is more eventful.
Yeah. But it's sitting right here. It's the nexus of evil at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
It draws these things.
It draws negativity.
Yeah, something. Just action. Just
in action. In our day, it was in a teal suit.
Form of a teal suit on a fucking...
With a mustache.
On a Tuesday. Yeah.
Oh. God damn. What a fucking great episode this has been. I'm definitely listening. When are you going to load this?
Maybe I'll do it this week. I'll see if I have to put one out this week. I don't think I have to. So, yeah. Maybe I'll put this one out this week. What do you got?
I want to check my numbers for Dirt Nasty. I just uploaded the Dirt Nasty one today.
Do you want to see what you got? What you're at?
Yeah.
I like that.
Ready? You want to guess?
Yeah.
Okay, hang on. Let's go to Libsyn.
You have to update it today.
Yeah.
What time today?
An hour ago.
Okay. An hour ago?
2 hours ago.
Okay. You did it right before you left?
No, an hour ago. An hour ago.
Okay.
I'll tell you my exact numbers for his episode alone. Everyone, get your guessing caps on.
Wait, your number for his episodes alone?
Yeah.
I think right now, if it was an hour ago, you have it ready?
Yep.
Well, I'm going to read your face for a clue. Idiot.
This is fucking fun.
I guess an hour ago. I guess you have, because it could get the base jump. I'm going to guess 4,000 downloads already.
Okay.
In an hour.
You're guessing 4.
Okay.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
All right. Here we go. Libsyn, I got to go to statistics.
This is based on the idea that I think you get a huge bump as soon as it goes up. I think there's some notifications that some people can get when they're like, oh, cool, let me download that right now.
I don't think it's 4,000. I'm just looking at my graph.
Yeah. It's just loading. On that one.
It went up an hour ago.
Yeah.
Wow, you're really close.
Yeah. If I get it within 100, I'll feel so. You got to give me a trip to Tahiti.
6,445.
Wow.
You're really fucking close.
I was off by fucking 50%.
Ooh, try to guess how many downloads yours has.
My episode with you?
Yeah.
What did you say? It was your second biggest one at the time? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay, which I was pleasantly surprised by. Pleasantly.
Try to guess.
At Tompkins Square Park. I will say...
Okay, here we go.
Wait, I haven't even said yet.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry.
58,000.
Nope.
That's okay. That's from over our top shelf, top level possible 73,000.
Nope.
What is it?
81.
Wow.
Joey Diaz is. Why am I giving my numbers out? Who gives a fuck?
Who cares? Doesn't even matter.
Joey Diaz is 109.
109.
Joey Diaz.
That's about the
highest
number.
Anything you put. You, Joey Diaz, and Bill Burr are the fucking. I mean, I can go through and Bill Burr's is.
You and Bill Burr are my top three, and Rogan. There's your Uber.
There's my car service.
All right, man.
yeah, that's so interesting that I. What is it about you that I give out information I would never tell a fucking
soul?
People
like talking to me. That was fun with the girlfriend too.
That was a lot of fun. That was a great podcast. I should piss before I go. Do you think the comedy
store
would
piss? I'll show you where it is.
All right. I love you. Oh, wait, when are you going to upload this?
Oh, yeah, I'll do it this week. You want to do it this week?
Yeah, yeah, let's do it this week. I'm in Seattle this weekend. I am in...
No, that means Monday.
Okay,
so we're Tuesday
next Monday.
Now. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm in... I'm in Richmond, West Nyack, Syracuse, Virginia Beach, Columbus. Those are my dates.
Nice. Check out BurtCreischer.com.
And check out my podcast. I just did the one with Simon Rest, where I asked him if I could take his dick out for a test drive.
You were so uncomfortable with it.
The most awkward, uncomfortable.
You were so uncomfortable. As you walked up, you were uncomfortable about it.
Oh, I got douche chills. All right.
All right.
I love you, Jari.
The episode, everyone. There you go. How did you like it? I am done. I'm no longer in the airplane. Rogan went to sleep for pretty much the whole flight, so we did not talk about the TSA. I had some fun with him in Boston. This guy was like, I don't take my shoes off, medical condition, and then he's like, what's your condition? I'm like, it's for private. And then he goes, well, how'd you get your shoes on? I'm like, I'd rather not tell you. And then he goes, okay, well, then I'm going to open up your bag for more screening. And I was like, why? Because I wouldn't comply with your questions? That has nothing to do with your job. And I really laid into him. I started going, do your job. Do your job. And then he called over a supervisor, and I wouldn't stop, and supervisor called over three, I don't know what they were, Massachusetts State Patrolmen? I don't know. Cops. Three cops of some sort. One cop was really cool, and the other cops were just trying to get out of there. They didn't want to deal with it. One cop was cool, though. I was like, why? Why would I have to open my bag for a search when there's no suspicion of anything I did? I haven't done anything. I haven't been suspected of anything. Why are they running my stuff through again? Why are they touching me? Why are they asking me to go through my shit? And I was like, could you do that? If you wanted to search some guy without suspicion, you wouldn't be able to do it. I said he was a good cop. Anyway, he was like, yeah, but, that dude was awful. And then before that guy, Rogan loved this part. Before the cops came over, one guy goes, you have to listen to me. And I go, well, you have to smell my fart. And then I cut one that was so loud. And he said it was almost comical how loud it was. It was like, it was perfect time. It was just there. And I was like, and he goes, oh, man, that's disgusting. I was like, yeah, you can smell it now. Nothing but contempt for that horrible bureaucracy of crooked thieves and liars. Anyway, so that was the episode, you guys. Ari Shaffir's Skeptic Tank, episode 128, is in the books. Thank you for Bert Kreischer for meeting me at the Comedy Store to talk about it. That'll probably be the last one I do at the Comedy Store until at least October. And by the way, for those people who listen every week, if I sound obliterated on this episode, it's because I was. And when you later hear the episode with Auntie Dolores, when I sound like it doesn't hit me at all, just know that this one was recorded probably 45 minutes after that one finished. So to give you a time zone, time range of where I was. And I probably kicked in probably like 20 minutes before we started recording hard. Auntie Dolores is awesome. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, so that's the episode. Don't forget to see me in Nashville. And a couple things I wanted to say about this episode. One, in the intro, it comes off as me not shitting on Kreischer, but saying like, yeah, I don't know if he should drink that much. It's not because I think his drinking is a problem in any way. It's just when I see him say things like, I'm getting more work done and my wife thinks I'm nicer around the house. You know, my questions were like, well, what are your options then? It seems obvious. I don't know that you shouldn't do it. But again, it's not like when I see him boozing up, he's not a bad guy in any way. But it's getting in the way of your productivity. I don't know. But again, it might be just because he got off the road for a little while, which he should do one of those two things. Get off the road a little more. I don't know. Do what the fuck you want, Kreischer. And Paul Tompkins, if you're listening, I don't know. I guess you hate Kreischer. I don't know. I don't know what that was. I mentioned to my friend, I was like, I saw Paul Tompkins walk by when I was doing a podcast with Kreischer. My friend goes, oh, he hates that guy. Like, I guess it's clearly out there already. So, as always, in interpersonal conflicts, I'm staying out of it and letting those guys hash it out however they fucking want. Also, the other thing I said was that Dave Attell had gotten worse on stage before he stopped drinking. One, he was never bad. And two, right now, he is as good as I've ever seen him. In the 10 years that I've... 13 years that I've been seeing that guy do stand-up comedy live, I've never seen him better. He's slaying consistently, and he's quick. He's so fucking quick. God damn it. So anyway, I just didn't want any misunderstandings on that. He's fucking rad right now. All right. Should that be it? Should I say something before we leave? Don't forget the Amazon link, I guess. And look for me in Madison, Wisconsin. Calgary, Nashville, Cabo, San Lucas, I think, or whatever Cabo is. And San Francisco. All dates that are on my website right now you can get. And my storyteller show in New York, August 27th. And don't forget to put pressure on Rogan to fucking do one for October 1st. Right now the topics are travel or road stories, one of the two, and fight stories. And I want people to be a little more committed to the topic this time rather than let's leave it clear. So we'll see if I get my way on that. But August 27th is my next story on there online. If you don't know, it's called This Is Not Happening. So just search on YouTube for This Is Not Happening. You'll find it. All right, you guys. Thank you for subscribing. If you do, if you don't, I'm not going to curse you out. I'm now doing this outro in my apartment in Los Angeles. This may be the last one I ever do here. I'm leaving for Nashville on Wednesday morning, the day of the show. So I got shows Wednesday and Thursday at Zany's. Please come out. Please tell your friends. Come on, come out. This is one of those weekday shit where I get most of the money from the door and they don't help promote it all. So help me promote. Tell your friends to come. This place has been pretty rad. We've had a lot of skeptic tanks here. And a lot of intros and outros here. I'm looking around. It looks so great now because Matt Edgar is staying here and he fucking cleaned it up. And when I asked him to clean it up for a fucking free iPhone, he couldn't do shit. He couldn't do shit all. But then when it's like, all right, it's your place, do what you want. This fucking place is spotless in no time. And in fairness, I gave him the iPhone anyway, so he learned that no work gets you just as much. He really learned a lesson of a woman there. All right, Nashville, and then back to New York. Guys, I'll see you at the stand. I'll see you around New York. I don't know why I'm... All right, I got nothing else to say, right? Thanks, Kreischer. Make sure to go see Kreischer on stage. He's awesome. Oh, and thank you for the two people who came to see Nick Youssef in Portland off him doing the intro to this a couple weeks ago. People went out and saw him in Portland. That's what I fucking love, you guys. You go see my guests because you heard him on this. I love it. I love hearing about it. I love hearing about it through them, too. If they tell me, like, hey, dude, so two people came up to see me, or five people came up to see me, whatever it was, because they heard me on the Skeptic Tank. Dude, I fucking love that shit. I love promoting stand-up comedy. All right. Over and out. And by the way, I'm going to be doing podcasts with Rogan. Here are the topics I'm going to be doing with Rogan. Boston, all about Boston. We're going to cover a rundown of his special in a very artistic way. And then maybe one other, we'll see. But until then, Jesus, I'm really meandering. Goodbye, you guys. I don't know why I'm doing this. Goodbye. No, I'll be back for the people who came to Boston. I'll be back in Thanksgiving weekend. I shouldn't even bother. It's so far away. All right, you guys. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 128. Boozer with Bert Kreischer. Over and out.
Alcohol.
What?
Alcohol. Alcohol. Alcohol.
Oh, you're crawling up my spine.
Alcohol.
I was waiting long time.
Alcohol.
Now you teach me how to rhyme.
Alcohol.
Just don't stop me in the back with a cortisol. Now forever reunite.
Alcohol.